At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Breaking sports news as it happens on The Fan.
It's time to add some spice to your nooner.
Nooner. Funny.
This is the place where big-time guests, bold opinions, and little cute doggies come together. This is Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Pella Columbus, the number one rated windows and doors in Columbus.
So where's the office back at Division? In the office, baby. Going out.
All right, the crew is back together again. Rothman and Ice, Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes, and CB, all live, kicked out of the studios today for a great cause. Boys, how we doing?
The office is different today, but the office is a beautiful place because I'm looking at sunshine, a golf course, and a dog shelter that I know is near and dear to your heart. So it's a Freaky Friday, man. I got nothing I can complain about. The gang is back together. You had some well-deserved time off. And here we are, man, looking forward to having some fun today.
Yeah, should have an awesome show. So I'll tell you why we are here at Cumberland Trail in Pataskala, the awesome public track here in Central Ohio, one of the best. People rave about these greens. But we are here for the cause, and the cause are my friends at Gigi's Animal Shelter in Canal. You've heard me mention this so many times during Hockey and Hounds, and Tina Skestos and her husband George founded this shelter, and I just like to call it 26,000 square feet of love, care, and most importantly, second chances, because what they do is there's thousands of rural shelter dogs that are impacted every year, whether by space or they can't give them the vaccines they need or do the treatment that they need. And what they do is they provide all the care a shelter dog needs to get ready to go to a forever home. And they help relieve that pressure, Matty, on those rural shelters that are so wonderful as well. But I want to support this. It's near and dear to my heart. I hope people listen. If we reach one person today that feels like they could welcome an animal into their home for 10, 15 years or longer and make that commitment, your lives will be changed in a good way forever, and I urge you to adopt. It's the most important thing. You're saving two lives, the animal that you adopt and the space it creates for another one. And until there's no more need for the shelter, I'll keep using this platform until they rip it away from me. So we're out at Gigi's Drive for Dogs. We got some very, very special dignitaries that are supporting the cause with us. We did this last year when Jim Tressel was the supporting keynote special guest.
Apparently, I was here, too.
You were definitely here in some way, shape, or form because we've played this before, but since now it's a tradition unlike any other, we need to play it again. So I'll set it up because I think Bake has it back in the studio. So we sit down, and my affection for Jim Tressel and all the years that I covered him were tremendous. And Tress came and wanted to support it with me and sat down, and we had talked beforehand. I think he didn't really know, because the name of the show is Rothman and Ice, so he just assumed that Matty would not be taking
that
the
I'm
day
in
off.
The building, right.
You're in the building. Filling in for you was one Joffrey Thidoff, and this is how it went for the introduction. My man, Jim Tressel. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Anthony.
Yes, thank you.
Ice, good to see you.
Yeah,
thank you.
All right, so where do we start?
Yeah, cut it there.
That was it. He looked right at Thidoff and said, Ice.
Between the thank you from Thidoff that's in the background and your laugh, the whole clip is just gold. Big, play it again because it's a sneaky thank you. Tito just rolls with it.
I said thank you.
Is it you? There's a thank you. I think he does say thank you, though. Play it again because I think it might be Tito in the background.
My man, Jim Tressel. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Anthony.
Yes, thank you.
Ice, good to see you.
Yeah, thank you. All right.
I think
he's saying
yap. I think there was a
where
yap
do we
in
start?
There.
So here's what happened.
Oh, I love it.
So when that happens in live radio, you don't want to tell your guest, hey, that's not Ice, and go through that stupid rigmarole of explaining who that guy is.
Yeah.
You just got to roll with it and run with it. And then later, I thought, okay, Fedoff's not going to tell him in a commercial break, hey, by the way, just to let you know, I'm feeling it. He could have. But then he decided to go all in on the, how great Jim's speech was at St. John Arena. And Tress goes, how old do you think I am? That was at the shot.
Wrong venue,
and
big
so, so he lost his chance.
Yeah.
Now, he could have said, well, oh, yeah, my name isn't Ice either. Well, it was that day, and it always will be.
Listen, I
got
understand.
A half-brother.
I understand.
Cube.
Tito and I have never been seen in the same room. Never been seen
Tito's
in the same room.
Tito's on ice?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
But listen, when you got a guy like Jim Tressel, you don't correct him. You just let him roll. It's a national championship head coach, one of the legends here in the state of Ohio. You let him do his thing. That's a clip that we will play forever. But it is awesome for me to be here today because, like you were mentioning, how much Gigi's means to you, and to see kind of what you've built, right, with hockey and hounds and your affection for dogs and animals. It's cool to share this with you, and I know it's something that you're proud of and you should be proud of, man, because you've worked hard and you've partnered with Gigi's to take care of a lot of dogs and a lot of animals. So just to be a part of this today for a few hours, it's really cool for me to share this with you, big dog.
Yeah, and we'll do, you know, mine from Little Turtle later in the year in August for Homeless to Home in Marion. And we'll just keep showcasing these Central Ohio animals. And these are nonprofit care organizations, and the people that work behind the scenes are so amazing. All I'll say is, you know how hot it is. Make sure those doggies are inside and nobody's chained out and everyone's feeling good today. So we'll have a good show. And we'll have some special guests along the way. And the one that I wanted to mention, because we're just going to keep leveling this thing. And so Archie Griffin is here, the only two-time Heisman Trophy winner.
Stroll by. Give me a thumbs up.
He did give you
he's already in the building.
All right, good. So, and he's playing today. It's not like he's just showing up. He wanted to play golf today.
Got to ask him about his game. He's got to be pretty good, I would think.
Well, listen, I mean, between all the courses he's played here and Florida and everywhere, yeah. I'll tell you a funny story. I may wait until he's sitting down to tell him on the memory I have of he and I, nothing to do with golf and nothing to do with football.
Yeah.
You'll actually laugh about it. He may remember it.
I wonder
if
he's got onto Augusta. He seems like a guy that's got some pull down there.
Maddie, that is something.
We're talking two Heismans.
You can't just pick up the phone and call. You have to know a member, which
like
he may do, and then that member has to decide he's going to take you.
I don't like that place.
And no, but, well,
it's too uptight. Way too uptight.
It actually really is.
Too uptight.
It actually isn't, to the point where the people that are members there, they don't tell you they're members there. That's the secret, is that Archie may know a member, but that member won't tell him he's a member.
Why not?
Just because that's the nature of it.
Just great.
It's a special.
Fun times at Augusta, sounds like. Come get a $150 to-go cup and a $300 polo while you're at it.
No, actually, the food and the beverages are the cheapest part about it. Actually, it's more expensive than any other sporting event you'd ever gone to. I'm telling you, that's the
hardest
part.
Just take me to Pebble Beach, okay?
Well, that's public.
TPC
Nobody
Sawgrass.
Has to take you there.
Exactly.
You can go on your own.
I'd rather go there than Augusta.
And Sawgrass. That's public, too. You got 700 burning a hole in your pocket?
I do, actually.
To play one hole, the island hole, and hope not to dunk it in the water?
You know what? I'm looking at this hole here. There's a whole bunch of water. I can't imagine how many balls I would hit here in the
By the way, and I'm sorry that I buried the lead. Congratulations. Great call in the U.S. Open.
You know
and I
what?
Hope you made some people some money.
You get it right every once in a while. We miss more than we hit doing what we do in this realm of sports. But I was on that Monday. I grabbed it at 18-1. Ironically, when we were doing the show, it went to 20-1, I think, by Wednesday. So I missed on Thigala at the Memorial. But, hey, you'll take it. Bryson gets it done. And CB and I felt for you. We felt for you in. On Monday, we poured one out for you. Actually, we poured two out for you because not only did your boy not get it done in Rory, but he was so, so close in doing that, but there was a live boy that got it done on the other side. So we felt for you.
I appreciate that. But I will tell you, and you know this, and this is why I'm struggling with it. You know that I was on his team Bryson through the whole Brooksy thing.
That's very true.
You know he
that
was
is
my,
very true.
I was all in on that. I thought Brooks was envious and jealous, and I'm the GQ good-looking guy who has the majors. Yeah, this guy can hit it 380. Who cares? I didn't like, and you knew I was on Team Bryson. So if a live boy had to win it, I'm kind of glad he did. Now, let me give you one quick thought on the final putt, because everyone has labeled this an absolute choke by Rory. The one on 16, absolutely, you got to make that. Bryson had missed one earlier, too, a very short one. You don't expect that from Rory. But if you're a golfer, and I'm not taking him off the hook, The sheer length of the putt made it so-called a choke. But I'm telling you, the worst putt you could ever want in that moment is what I call a slippery Pete. A left-to-right sliding putt that you either have to give the hole away and hit it outside the hole and have it break in, or try to jam it in the left side, which you're not going to probably do there on a downhiller, or hit it right where he thought he needed to hit it. The last putt shouldn't go down as an absolute choke. I know because of the length, everybody says, how could he miss that?
Yeah.
He'd made, you know, 500 in a row from 3 feet. But I'm just telling you, of all the putts, and Rahm even said it, I'm glad he did, we're underrating that, how difficult that putt was in that moment. Yes, he's Rory McIlroy. He should make it. Hear me correctly. But it wasn't like a, it wasn't a tap, tap, tap it in. Just tap it in.
I thought you were going somewhere else.
Just tap it in.
I know we were going after all those taps, CB, but listen, I know that was tough for you. Scott Van Pelt took a bit of a swipe at Rory for blowing doors after the Open. Did not go his way. As a Rory guy, you're the president of the Rory Club. Is that a, is that out of bounds by your guy to not speak to the media?
Yeah, so here's the deal. If you like the guy like I do, you're going to give him a half a pass. You will. If you're not a big fan, you're going to go all the way to the wall and probably say that was Bush, that was unprofessional. He should have done it.
Yeah.
Clearly, this guy has been under, I think, a world of hurt, right? From being the PGA Tour's ambassador to having to take those, to be the human shield for the PGA Tour, then to be propped up as, hey, you're our spokesman, then to go through the pressure of not having won a major in 10 years, where's the next major, then to the pending, then to the separation, pending divorce papers getting filed, then a reconciliation, then the rumors of him with Amanda Baleonis, all that stuff.
That's interesting.
I think, and then you add that on top of it, all I'm saying is I think the guy emotionally probably had a minor breakdown after that.
I'd like you to stand up for 5 minutes and just take us inside your mindset. I'm not going to kill him for it, because we've seen athletes and coaches do this for years. Right after games, either they don't speak to the media or they speak to the media and they may say something that they regret because emotions are so high. You mentioned the major thing and just the gap in time for this guy and how long it's been. That's got to be a tough mental space to be in. The game of golf is already hard enough mentally, and so for him, that is one of the faces of this sport, to not have one of those, you know, grand prizes or around that sport and one of those trophies or jackets or whatever it may be. It's got to be tough and weighing on him at this point. So hopefully he can get it done eventually. But yeah, congrats to Bryson. Bryson's been really good at the U.S. Open. Won it in 24 and won it in 2020.
It's a special club,
yeah,
that's for sure. And he hit the sand shot heard around the world. You got to give it to him.
Yep.
I thought he was done when he missed the short putt. I thought he was over. But that place is so unpredictable. A bogey was lurking anywhere you look on those greens, and Rory hit one a little long and wound up making bogey. But, yeah, I thought we were headed for a playoff. And, by the way, rules had changed. We weren't going to Monday to play 18 holes like Rocco and Tiger did years ago. We're going right into the playoff.
I like
and
that.
It would continue the momentum of that, and that would have been the heavyweight battle of the world to have those guys.
Awesome.
And I just think we were shorted it as fans of sports. But, yeah, you make a good point. He would have been asked about the putt. He would have been asked about all that. He could have given a quality answer. He's a well-spoken guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then pull ripcord and get out of there. But I just think everything's swirling in his life. I bet he had a real emotional.
The pop finally boiled
I think
over.
It finally did. I think, the balloon popped for him. All right, when we come back, Matty, we'll talk about Ohio State football because we have a legend in the building. Are we leaning toward 3 yards and a cloud of dust with this Ohio State offense? We'll ask the man, Archie Griffin. Rothman and Ice live from Gigi's Drive for Dogs on The Fan.
If you haven't thought about Buckeye football today, I'm sorry to tell you that you're dead. Our condolences. Your home of the Buckeyes. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tennis shorts were so tight, they had to pixelate his crotch. You're listening to Rothman and Ice.
Indeed you are, Rothman and Ice. Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes. We're at Gigi's Drive for Dogs here at Cumberland Trail in Pataskala. And sitting next to us right now is the legendary Buckeye, the only two-time Heisman Trophy winner in the history of college football. Number 45 in the house, Archie Griffin. Good to see you, my man.
Oh, good to see you all. Thank you all for having me. Yes, greatly sir. Appreciate
it. Yeah, you and I have a mutual friend in Tina Skestos, yes. And you and I were just talking off air about what they've done at GG's. You got to visit the shelter not long ago, and, you know, I don't think you have to be a dog guy to appreciate or understand what they've done over there for animals.
You really don't. I mean, it was absolutely magnificent. I was really shocked. Yeah. How great it really was, and the people there, the people working there. I mean, the way that they care for those animals is just phenomenal. I mean, it was really fantastic. It was a great experience for me because I'm not a big dog guy. I mean, I really really like animals, yeah. But I'm running so much, yeah. I really hadn't had time to really have a dog and do things with the dog. But I went there, and I was very, very impressed.
Yeah, it's great you're here. Maddie and I, you know, listen, Maddie's a lot younger than I am, but he knows your history and everything. But as someone that's been here for 30 years and talked to you over the years, I kind of wanted to take it back a little bit because I don't know if a lot of people listening understand you coming out of Eastmore, and I don't think Ohio State was, in my memory, just a mortal lock for you, right? It was not going to be Ohio State, was it, from my memory?
No, it really wasn't, and mainly because I didn't think Ohio State wanted me. I didn't think Ohio State recruited many kids right from the Columbus City League programs. As a matter of fact, I don't remember any that were in the program at the time that I was being recruited out of the Columbus City League schools. So I didn't think that they were really going to be interested in me. I had a couple older brothers who I thought was pretty good, and they really didn't get recruited by Ohio State. So I just thought naturally that I would be going somewhere else. And in the Big Ten, the school that really showed a great deal of interest was Northwestern. And at that time, Northwestern was pretty good. As a matter of fact, in 1971, my senior year in high school, Northwestern beat Ohio State in Ohio Stadium and finished second in the Big Ten that particular year. And they were very interested. I mean, they've contacted me all the time and really showed a lot of interest. The other schools in the Big Ten, that team up north, and all of them showed a lot of interest. As a matter of fact, I sit on the board of the National Football Foundation, and Bo Schembechler was on that board as well. And Bo Schembechler used to always tell me, he used to say, you know, Woody would have never recruited you if I hadn't recruited you first. And, you know, I never thought about it.
Yeah.
But he might be right. I mean, he might be right. And so my concern then was, you know, is people kept saying, well, when Ohio State started, people kept saying, well, Ohio State's recruiting you, so they don't have to play against you. You'll never get a chance to play. So being an athlete, you know, you feel you know your ability is better than anyone else. So I really took it as a challenge to come to Ohio State, and I'm so glad that I did.
No
it's
doubt.
Good stuff. And the history was made after that, to say the least. Let's talk a little bit about Coach Woody and
okay.
what it was like being around him. Such a legendary name. Both you guys are just legends, right, in Ohio State history. But take us behind the scenes a little bit, your experience being coached up by Woody Hayes.
I loved Woody Hayes. Woody Hayes, great, great football coach, but even a better person than he was a coach. The one thing about Coach Hayes that you knew as a player is that he cared about you. I mean, he was a guy that would do anything to help you if you needed help. He was tough, but he was fair. And that's all you can ask of any coach, is that they be fair. And Coach Hayes was fair. He really would help you in any situation that you might be in. You could call on him, and he will be there, give you some guidance. He did that all the time. Everywhere you go, you talk to any guys who played during my era, they will tell you if they had an opportunity to talk with Woody about helping them in some sort of way, that he would do it. I mean, I hear that all the time from my teammates that I didn't even know needed help in anything. But Woody was just that type of person. But he was fair, hard worker. He worked you hard, and you played hard for him. And if you played hard for him, you were going to get results. And that's really what it was all about. I loved playing for him. He was tough, but he was fair.
Awesome. Your career started at Ohio State kind of very oddly. So I'll take you back. You're an 18-year-old freshman. It's 1972, maybe? Yeah,
1972.
Okay.
Just turned 18, actually.
All right. So your first game, I think it's against Iowa. So you're playing a pretty solid. And you're not playing yet. But I think you get in. Tell me your first carry wasn't a fumble. Wasn't your first carry, was it? It was.
First carry, fumble the ball.
All right.
Fumble the football. I certainly it was my fault. I mean, I'm so anxious. I was surprised to get in the game because all week long I was running on the scout squad. I mean, we in the scout squad, you all know, I mean, that's 15. We're running the opposing team's plays in practice. We're not really running our offense. So I get in at the end of the game, about a couple minutes to go, really excited, get in the huddle. First play called, 18 sweep, pitch out to me going around the right side, break the huddle, line up in the I formation. Quarterback started calling the signals. As soon as he started calling the signals, I really got excited because I was wondering if our offensive line was going to do for me what they've done for the other running backs all day long, and that's opened up big holes for them. So I wonder if we're going to do the same for me. So when the ball was snapped, the first thing that I did is I focused my attention on the hole in which I was going to run through instead of turning back toward the quarterback and watching the ball come in my hands. And when I focused my attention on that hole, I was shocked because those guys did just what I wanted them to do, opened up a big hole. Well, me with my eyes on the hole, the quarterback pitched the ball to me. The ball hit me in the hands, fumbled the football.
Wow.
So and I felt awful.
Oh, some guys may not come back from that. Now, here's my this is my opinion with Archie Griffin. So I think the best thing that happened to you was not that. But it was the Buckeyes didn't get the wake-up call the next week against Carolina, right?
They didn't get a wake-up call.
They were struggling, and Woody said, I got to go to the bullpen, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of what happened?
That's kind of what happened. And from what I understand, Rudy Hubbard, who was the backfield coach at the time, was kind of pushing Woody to put me in the game.
Back in the game.
Yeah. And believe me, I thought that I'd never get another chance. You know, Woody didn't like fumbles. There's no question about it. And I fumbled the football, and I guarantee you he didn't like that. And actually we had a bye in between, so all during those 2 weeks of practice, you know, I had to think about that. Am I going to get another shot? And see, at that time, you know, you could only take 60 players to the hotel the night before a game. Oh. So we as freshmen and reserves, we stay in the dormitory. We met up with the varsity day at a game at the stadium. So, you know, having to be one of those that meets up with the team at the stadium, you don't think you're going to get in the football game. But what happened is, from my understanding, is that Rudy Hubbard was pushing Woody to put me in the game. And all of a sudden, Woody called me off the bench to go in the game. I got really excited and went to run out onto the field. And all the excitement, I had forgotten to take my helmet with me. Couldn't believe that he had meant for me to go in the game. And got myself together, went into the game. And I was in a daze the whole time, Anthony. I really was. I mean,
tell him how many yards you had, Archie.
I ended up with 239.
Okay. That's a day right there.
Which is
absolutely.
Hey, Troy.
A day.
All right.
Right there.
All right.
Troy's next.
Which at the time was an Ohio State rushing record. So, you know, it was also a shocker.
You made up for it.
I guess you could say that, yeah.
Yeah. We'll take a break. We're going to come back with more with Archie Griffin. And, you know, he mentioned his brother as well. His brother had a massive play in the Michigan game, too, which is kind of an ironic part about your streak that was going on and the play he made. But we're visiting with Archie Griffin. No one better in this Buckeye land, and we'll do more with it. Rothman and Ice, live from Gigi's Drive for Dogs on The Fan.
We have so many local shows, I can't fit them in a 10-second promo. So let's just say we're live and local all damn day.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Helping you ace your afternoon. This is Rothman and Ice.
Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes, CB at the switches, and our man Archie Griffin, 45, here supporting Gigi's Drive for Dogs out here at Cumberland Trail in Pataskala. Funny story, Matty. By the way, you're right again. You're on it now. You've been on it. You're on it for the U.S. Open, and you were right. You asked Arch during the break if he had been played Augusta. Mm-hmm. And he said, yes, I have.
I figured they had to let the two-time Heisman winner in the building. No, you can't say no to Archie Griffin, right? Can't say no.
Well, obviously they said no to a lot of people. And, I was just fortunate enough to have a friend who was a member and invited me to play it. And I enjoyed the heck out of it.
Oh, man.
So here's my quick memory. He won't remember this. But back in, I want to say, it's probably late 90s, early 2000s. You know how much back, you know, from golf and tennis, all that stuff. So I had a back. It just kept going out, my lower back. And I go over to Ohio State, and I'm going to see Dr. Lombardo. And so he's going to, you know, do whatever he needs to do. I need some instant relief. And I'm in the waiting room, and guess who limps in, the both of us, Leaning Tower of Pisa's, Archie Griffin. And we're both kind of like, okay, that's who we are now. Just old forward. And I thought, what a moment. Like, of all the things that would stuck in my head, you know, that really put it in perspective. Yeah. But he had a lot more excuses than I had of why his back might be hurting. But great to have you with us, Arch.
And, it was probably hurting from golf even at that time. My goodness.
It's a horrendous. I mean, football probably didn't do as much damage. Well, back. No, but this sport, I'm telling you, but we love it. It's all we can do now.
Yep,
so
that's exactly
we do
right.
It. 1975, you hammered UCLA during the regular season at their place. You meet them again in the Rose Bowl. You have an undefeated season on the line.
Yeah. Oh, national championship.
Championship on the line. The one thing that's not on the resume for you. Do you remember how the team felt beforehand? Were you... I mean, you already played them, right?
Right. Beat them pretty soundly, actually. And that was probably, I wish that game would have been closer because we probably would have had a better attitude at going out to the Rose Bowl. I mean, the coaches, you know, they tried to warn you, you know, this is not the same team you played earlier, da-da-da-da-da. But, you know, we were so used to going out to the Rose Bowl. I mean, we had gone three previous years. We had gotten all kind of friends out there. I mean, it was like home for a little bit. You know, you just had a good time. And, you know, when you go out to California, you want to have a good time. And unfortunately, our guys had a good time, probably a little too much of a good time. And we didn't really get into the game the way we should. I mean, if you look at that game, I mean, early in the game, we should have really taken that game under control. And we just didn't get it done. That's the most disappointing game that I ever had playing football.
Okay.
Because that team was good enough to win a national championship. But that team, and I won't say should have won because we didn't win the national championship, but that team was good enough to win a national championship, and we let it slip through our fingers.
Speaking of teams that are good enough to win a national championship, there's a lot of people that believe this year's team here in Columbus can win a national championship. I want to ask you specifically about the running backs. Travion Henderson, they bring in Quinshon Judkins, a veteran from the SEC. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts on those guys and the potential of the run game in 2024?
Well, they've got a great running back room. I mean, really. And you know, my old coach, Woody Hayes, used to phrase it like this. At that running back position, you need a pair and a spare. And meaning that you need three good ones to make sure that you could get through a season, because you never know what's going to happen. You know, I don't know how many times the running backs are going to carry the ball. During my time, we ran the ball quite a bit. We don't run it as much now as we did during the time that I played. But you need some good running backs, and it's great that we have that. And I think that, we are good enough. We got the talent to win it. But as I mentioned about us, you got to play the games. Mm-hmm. And you got to take them one at a time. You got to take each of those games very serious in order to win each and every one of those games. So if we can have the right attitude going into the season, if we can play together like I know that we can, I'm hearing really great things about how the kids are gelling together and the relationships that's going on with the players and the coaches and all that. It's all been really good. Now, if they can just pull it together and put that effort in each game at a time, the success will come because the talent is there. But you got to play each and every game. You can't let one slip by you. With a 12-team playoff, though, you might be able to get by with one slipping by you. But when you get to that playoff, you got to get it done.
How would you feel? How do you feel about a shared backfield? How do you envision this for Travion and Quinshon and how they'll deploy them?
Well, I don't know how they'll deploy them, but you know, being a running back, you know, you like to get in there and get the feel of the game. But I got a feeling that they're going to use them both. They're going to use them. I mean, you got that kind of talent. You got to use them. And I think that they're going to use them. And I think it's going to be a plus for us if they do use them.
It's a long season.
Man, how many games? 16 games if
right
you go all the
there.
Way?
Yeah, 16, 17 games.
That's an NFL
games.
Season,
yep.
man. Yep. I mean, that's a long season. So you need those players that can come in and not lose a step. And I think we got that. I mean, that's a plus for us. That really is a plus for us. If you can keep those guys fresh, I mean, we've had some problems with, you know, Travion getting hurt every now and then or running backs getting hurt every now and then. But when they're fresh, they're awesome. They are absolutely awesome. And I'm thinking with the situation that we're in right now, we can keep them fresh.
Yes. There seems like the quarterback position may be able to help out with the run game this year. They bring in Will Howard from Kansas State. Devin Brown's a guy we've seen a little from here and there, but not a large sample size. Right. From the running back's perspective, talk about how having a quarterback in the backfield like that can help you guys do your job.
There's no question. If you've got a quarterback that can run the ball and can run the ball well, it really helps the running game. I can say that I experienced that with Cornelius Green. I mean, we ran the option, and I always said that he was a wizard with the option, the way that he could put that ball out there, pull it back in, and take off. And you got to respect that. And Will Howard, you know, he's certainly a running threat. And that'll make a difference for our running backs and our passing game as well. So I look forward to this upcoming season. I don't know who's going to be the quarterback, but I think we're in a good position where we are to have the people that we have to play that position.
Arch, does it matter whether Ryan Day and Chip Kelly use the first few games to figure out who their quarterback is? I know the guy that starts, if he plays well, they'll continue him. But is there a thought in your mind that he might give Devin a shot at this job outside of camp? Or once they break camp, you've got your leader, and then unless something horrible happens, he's your guy? Is that what you're anticipating?
Ideally, you know, once you break camp and you got your leader, I mean, that's the ideal thing. But you can't always go with the ideal thing. I mean, things happen. I mean, I think last year, Devin was hurt, you know, in spring ball, and there were situations during the course of the season where he was hurt and things like that. So you don't always have the ideal situation. But ideally, yeah, you'd like to have that quarterback, your team knowing who that quarterback's going to be. But, again, you got to have depth. And it's important to have that depth, especially at that position.
Off the field right now, there seems to be so many opportunities for this era of the collegiate athlete to help themselves out financially. You're a guy that, I mean, can't imagine, right? We drop you into this era, you win a Heisman, you come back, what you could have done. What are your thoughts on NIL and the opportunities these guys have now?
Well, I think it's great. I think everybody could see it coming. I just have problems with the guardrails around it, and I know they're continually trying to work some things out with that. But I'm NIL. I'm pro NIL. I've always been pro NIL, especially after you started seeing you know, the dollars that were being paid, the coaches making millions and millions of dollars. You could see it coming. I mean, you had to know that these kids got to get something. I mean, they're out there busting their tail, and it's like a job. It's definitely like a job. I mean, they work hard all year long to play the game. So, you know, you had to see it coming. And I like the fact that it's here. We just got to make sure that we do it right. And what's the right way? I don't know. But I think the fact that schools are now having, if I understand it right, if schools are now having the opportunity to take control of the players, I think that's the way to go. I've always felt that was the way to go, but schools seem to want to think that you know, they don't want players to be employees, da 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 da, all that kind of thing. Well, heck, I was president and CEO of the Ohio State University Alumni Association. I had student employees working for me all the time, so I don't really see anything wrong with it. So if it gets to that, it gets to that. But I think it's the right thing to do for the schools to have control of that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting because the deserving ones certainly get it. A lot of now you're almost paying to play where they haven't performed yet. So how the coaches deal with keeping the guys motivated and this and that has got to be a whole other side of the equation.
It is. I mean, to me, it's the coach's job's a lot harder now. I mean, you got to recruit your team every year. I mean, that's absolutely incredible. I mean, you just don't have to worry about what freshmen are coming in, but you got to worry about who's going to stay, da-da-da-da-da. I mean, it's got to be really, really tough and frustrating.
Final thought, final 30 seconds, because I mentioned it earlier. You had your big 31 games, I think 100-yard streak going. Mm-hmm. The same game it gets snapped, your brother Ray has a pick six against Michigan, correct?
Right. He didn't take it all the way
in. Oh, he didn't take it all the way in. Okay.
But he took it down about the 3 yards, two-yard line.
What a balance of emotion that must have been. Your streak gets snapped, and your brother gets the glory against Michigan.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wasn't worried about the streak. I was worried about winning the game, which was most important. And that interception that Ray got, it brought it home for us. It really brought it home for us. Because anytime we got inside the 5-yard line, our fullback was going to run the football, and nobody's going to stop Pete Johnson with that situation on the line. And it was wonderful. And so I always said that they broke our 31 straight game streak, but we broke their record because they hadn't lost a game in their stadium. In about 3 or 4 years. They tied with us in 1973, but they hadn't lost a game in their stadium in about 4 or 5 years. So we broke that for them. So I said, it's a wash.
And it's hard for you to relate to what's going on right now with this little streak to that team up north.
That's right.
You to relate. Our man Archie Griffin, the one and only, 45 here at Gigi's Drive for Dogs. My man.
Thanks, guys. It doesn't get any better than this. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for visiting. Thank you. Enjoy the golf. He's going to get out there and swing it. And we'll come back with a lot more live here on The Fan.
We test marketed naming the show A Guy and His Butlers.
Oh, that is very touching.
But we thought Bishop and Friends had a better ring to it.
Weekday mornings at 9.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Thoughtfully discussing the merits of home run ins frozen pizza. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, from one Ring of Honor guy to another, it doesn't get any better than this. I always felt like this man kind of modernized Ohio State offense to a level that we've seen today. And I love his story. It's one of the best because nothing's ever promised. Nothing was promised to him, and he hung in there and got his time. When he did, he hit it in the bullseye. He's number 10, Ring of Honor, Ohio State Buckeye, Troy Smith in the house.
Appreciate you having me, brother. Good seeing you guys. Good seeing you guys, sir.
So many places we can go. I guess the first place I'd like to go is you're down 21-19 to Michigan with under a minute to go in 2005.
Man.
You're going to take off, and I see a guy make a move that I've never seen in my life.
Right.
I can't remember who the Michigan guy was that was coming through that hole.
I remember.
Yes. You jump,
David Harris.
So you jump back and to the right.
Right.
I don't know how you sprung. You had springs in those cleats.
Yeah.
And then you hit Gonzo, who's riding on the shoulders of a guy and makes that catch.
That was
and
awesome.
The rest is history.
That was awesome.
How in the world did you make that play?
Instinct. Yeah. Instinct. Muscle memory. All those good things. There was a time, you know, early on, in like practices and things like that, where the whistle would blow immediately when you got close to the quarterback. And then as the years progressed, Tress let us get a little bit more spicy in what we were doing. So to me, it was because of the drills, it was because of the ways that we would practice, he would let us incredibly play out all of the plays and be the best athlete, the best playmaker that we could. Sometimes too, this is how Guillen Jr. got his rep. It would be 4 or 5 reverse fields, you know what I mean? And then somebody would finally tag him as we're like all super tired. But yeah, those drills back then and Tress instilling that faith.
When did it click for you in 06, man? That was just an incredible season for you, right? Winning the Heisman Trophy and all of that. But was there a game, a moment, a play before we got to the Michigan game where you were like, you know what, I'm really cooking, I'm really on to something here?
Believe it or not, it was coming into the season.
Okay.
Northern Illinois. My coachings, like, they did an incredible job at getting us ready for the games. All of the play calling was designed for us to have some success as well. If you go back and look at those beginning plays of those games that whole year, we were dialing it up right away. It wasn't like we were coming out 3 yards in a cloud of dust. We were, if your DBs that day weren't ready, they would be in trouble. So, at the beginning of the year, when we came out and every single version of the plays that we would call, the first five plays were like pass plays that could convert to run plays per how many people were in the box. That's when I knew we had a chance.
Gotcha. We're talking to number 10, Troy Smith, Heisman winner, legendary Buckeye with us here at GG's Drive for Dogs. I mentioned earlier you were recruited as an athlete, right?
Yep.
I mean, you were such a good athlete. And I know quarterback was there, but you waited your time. And I know you're Glenn. You're from the Ville, man.
I knew
that you were going to
– State champs, baby.
You were going to be here. But you came here a little bit of faith, right? You wanted to be a quarterback, but they knew they're probably going to find you a way to get the ball to you. But give me that evolution of hanging in there quarterback, because Justin Zwick was probably the highest recruit in Ohio at the time.
Yeah.
Your thoughts on that?
It was rough. It was an early delusion of grandeur-type version of myself, so I definitely thought that I was a lot better than what I really was at the time. The evolution and the ups and downs, the tumultuous times had to happen to me for me to simmer down, for me to mature, for me to become a better person before a better athlete. I really had to do some soul searching off the field prior to becoming a better player on the field. Joe Daniels, Jim Bowman, Jim Tressel, like if it wasn't for those men having patience with me, who knows where I would have been. And then, too, just to add even more, if the NIL was existence back then, who knows where I would have been. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I probably would have been underneath the bridge somewhere, because I know at that point in time, I thought I was much better than the years to come. So, yeah, all of that stuff combined.
Want to hit you up about the offenses now that you're seeing in the Scarlet and Gray, because as you know, I mean, the wide receiver position, the quarterback position is absolutely booming on the recruiting trail and on the field. Just your thoughts as a guy that played at a high level, but seeing the offense now, just where you at with what they do on Saturdays?
Oh, I'm salivating. I am definitely halfway foaming at the mouth sometimes. You know, sometimes the old guys get those little white shit in the corner of their mouth. Like, that's me on Saturday sometimes. Super excited always about the Buckeyes and the crop they're bringing in. I'm gonna be kind of cliche and old school when I say this. I love the quarterbacks, I love the wide receiver position, but if we don't keep the quarterback upright, meaning the five guys up front, if they aren't the way they need to be, we won't be able to talk about these guys. We got incredible skill guys, speed guys across the board, but I'm telling you, man, where it's most important is from tackle to tackle, guard, center, guard. We got to protect our quarterback. We got to keep him upright. And then we'll be able to brag and boast about the receivers outside, the tight ends, the slot guys, et cetera. But it starts with those five up front.
One of the most iconic athletes that's ever come through here wearing Scarlet and Gray, Troy Smith, is with us. What did you say in the huddles to Teddy Ginn, your guy? Just go beat everybody? Just go deep? I'll hit. I mean, he just ran by people.
Look,
what were those conversations in the huddle like?
Coach Truss is not around.
Yeah.
Some of the people that I know would hold me on point are not around, so I might be able to release a little bit of explicit things, because it wasn't always cool conversations. And people don't know that about Ginn Jr. The thing is when he's challenged, the best comes out. We have a unique way with challenging one another, because we've been with each other since Morningstar Baptist Church back in Cleveland, Ohio, off 105th and St. Clair. We used to give each other just a head nod or a signal back then, and we would make it to the gym, or we would go to the corner store while the people are going crazy at church, you know what I mean? So we had the connection back then. But we would have great conversations. He would always keep it 100 when it comes to guys guarding them. Now, I've had guys that I've thrown the football to, they could be covered by four people and they still say that they're wide open. You know what I mean? We go back and watch the tape. It's like, dude, you were covered, man. He's like, well, I felt open. You know what I mean? But Ginn Jr. Ginn Jr. was always honest about his matchups. Yeah. And then, too, when I needed to get a little bit more out of them, we went back to the old school ways of challenging one another with some not so kind words at time.
Gotcha.
Well, that's when the relationship is the strongest, when you can be honest, right?
You got that right. Okay. We were honest to a default at times.
Troy, to me, you're one of the best pure passers this university's ever seen. Man, another one of those guys we just saw recently in C.J. Stroud. I want to get your thoughts on his quick transition to the NFL and what he did his rookie year.
It's amazing. Yeah. We owe him a tremendous ode, all Ohio State quarterbacks, because we know for a long time we were getting labeled and numbered as you-know-whats. Now, he smashed it. He demolished it. And with every touchdown, with every winning drive, with everything that he does to gloss up the quarterback position, it makes me feel tremendously well. It gives me warm feelings. You know, it's like Thanksgiving. You know, every single time he gets a chance to incredibly lead his team, it's awesome to me. I do think that the position in its entirety is being revolutionized and it's changed. When I was coming up, it was cool to be 6'4", a cold bottle of piss, and standing in the pocket and doing your thing. But now you have to be mobile, you have to be a leader, and you have to be a playmaker. The ability to adjust and improvise is at a premium, and this is what they do now.
I'll tell you what, landslide Heisman winner. what a guy now in his life. So proud. I know a lot of people are of you, and I know you take that as a compliment. He has every award known to man, but now he's out here helping and supporting and paying forward and all that good stuff.
Yes,
I know
sir.
You got your outing coming up, the
yes,
NIL
sir.
Outing.
Yes.
A little turtle in August.
Yes, it's going to be an amazing time, August 11th and August 12th. August 11th, we're going to have something fun the night before. Haven't really figured that venue out yet, but it's all about camaraderie. And then we can all look crazy on Mondays trying to hit it straight at Little Turtle Golf Club in Westerville.
Let me tell you. So we'll keep in touch this summer.
Please.
Once you get your plan in order, we'll help you get it out there.
Awesome.
Thank you, brother.
Thank
Troy
you.
Troy Smith, Heisman winner. Go play. Have a good time. We're back with more Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
My, the meatloaf!
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Afternoon Parlay. This is Rothman and Ice.
All right, second hour of the program. Starting out this weekend with a grand slam there. Archie Griffin followed by Troy Smith. Doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, that'll work.
And some great candid stuff there with Troy about his time at Ohio State and coming here. And honestly, I don't remember that where he... That's the first time I've had him say to me, you know, that he actually thought he was better and more deserving at that time. But I'll tell you what, he had the faith, and then, you know, it takes one play or something that happens in a game, and all of a sudden, you know, ball goes off the hands that should be caught, and then it's time to go to the bullpen, and the rest is history. You know, fate lends a hand if you're willing to kind of hang in there, and he certainly did, but I'm glad he mentioned those guys that had a lot of faith in him. But,
yeah, man. And you heard his excitement just talking about just the offense, right, because with his arm, and like to me, like you line up a lot of quarterbacks at this university. I mean, he had an absolute cannon of an arm, so to drop him in this offense now, he already did damage. He had reached the ultimate goal. He won a Heisman Trophy individually, right? But now these guys, it's just, it eras change and everything evolves, NIL offenses, but to think what he could do, you know, with a guy like Tay Ginn or some of the playmakers now, it would be crazy to see on Saturday.
Yeah, and Archie even had to catch himself a little bit saying that about the one slip-up, because you actually can have it this year. Now, you can't have it to Michigan unless you win the national title, and then maybe that softens the blow. But I can't even imagine all of us having the conversation of, okay, they want a natty again on the heels of a fourth straight loss to Michigan. Like, that just doesn't sound
you'll
right.
Take it, though.
You'll take it. Although, you know what, in a weird way, you're right. You absolutely would take it. Last team standing, last laugh, all that. But I'm wondering, and I don't know, CB, I'm just spitballing here on a poll. But I'm wondering if, and you guys hear me out on this because I may be totally insane. But I'm wondering if there's a percentage of Buckeye fan that if you gave them the choice, beat Michigan and not win a natty, or lose to Michigan and win the natty, Would it be 100% to nothing? I don't think it would be.
I'd be curious to see what a poll would look like.
Because of the three straight.
I think, though, when you are perceived as a Mount Rushmore program, you want to have the trophy more times than not. Trophy. I understand the game and the rivalry and the sting of that, but that would ease all the pain. Maybe not all of it. A lot of the pain, I think, gets eased if you are the last team standing with the confetti coming down on you, and you're in the winner's circle with everything that you wanted and hope for coming out to start a season. So it would be interesting to feel out, Buckeye fans when it comes specifically to that. But for me personally, I would much rather win everything or win the whole thing and have a hiccup along the way.
No, and I agree. That is the winner. But if people were completely honest, you can't be completely honest on Twitter.
Twitter's not real.
People are going to mess with polls on Twitter just to be that person, right? It's not a perfect science. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it was, if you lined up, 1,000 people and said, all right, your life isn't going with this. Just be honest. And they were diehard Buckeye fans. And I gave them two choices. Beat Michigan, but don't go all the way. Or lose to Michigan for a fourth straight time, but circle the wagons and win it all. I don't think it's 100% to nothing.
We got a poll out there right now on our Twitter page, @971RNI. So hop on in there and hit us with your thoughts. I will be surprised, AR, if we are talking about a bit of a landslide in favor of winning the Natty and losing to Michigan. I would be surprised.
It's not 100% to nothing.
No, not 100, but I think 75, 80.
Okay.
That's just my guess. I don't know. Could be wrong.
CB's over under. What are you giving the over under, CB, on the percentage, which we both believe will be high, which is win the Natty but lose to Michigan? What's your over under percentage on that?
In terms of winning the national title but losing to Michigan?
Where are you thinking the poll would rank?
I feel like it's going to be very close to like a 50-50 almost.
Really?
I'm telling you, Maddie, it runs deep.
Oh, no. See, to me, that
it won't be 50-50.
No, I'd be shocked if it was 50-50. 50-50 limit.
60-40?
I'm going at least 70%
okay.
That Natty's going to bring it home.
I'm kind of with you on that because you fast forward in your mind. But I'll tell you what, man. Like I said in the beginning, it'd be the oddest conversation in the history of the world. We'd love to have it because, like you said, last team standing in a new expanded playoff has a lot of weight to it. And so, because it is a long season. It is what Archie talked about. It is having depth. It is being able to overcome injuries and all that. So we'll see what happens. I did see, I was gone being out of town everything, and I saw Don Waddell, Dave's little presser there. He's got it down to the dirty dozen, right, of interviewing guys and stuff like that. Listen, I have no problem with the fresh start. We kind of knew this isn't a shock, right? I think everybody can admit that a first-year NHL head coach dropped into that mess wasn't going to achieve what they thought they could achieve. One of the lines, it kind of bothered me a little bit, and I'm not saying it wasn't honest, but, and this was in the Dispatch, I think, with Hedge about the firing stems from unspecified things he learned from talking to players and others with the team about the past two seasons, and that it was stuck in his mind and he couldn't get past it. That's a little unnecessary. It really is, and I'll tell you why I feel that way. Players protect themselves, right? And this isn't a program that's oozing with a pedigree of winning right now. They're just not.
Right.
And they can walk players. I've learned this talking to coaches. And that's why exit interviews and at the end of the season are probably a joke. Because you can walk players into answers that you want. And if they want the coach fired, they can get those answers. They can find a way to get it off there. And I'm not saying he did that. But I'm just saying that I think he could have just, hey, this guy's going to be a great coach one day, proud of what he did here. We need to start fresh. I need a whole new way of looking at things. Because when you think about this, and when Lars came in and overachieved his first year, same thing, young, first-time NHL coach. The only thing that changed from year one to year two was personnel.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't culture. Wasn't that his message wasn't getting in there. He didn't lose the team. You know what happened? It was 550 man games lost.
Talk about
That's what changed.
Yeah.
And so don't spin it another way. Now, he knew what he was going to do before he even met Pazzi. That's my feel on it. And he's entitled to feel that way. If Maddie gets a call from Atlanta and they say, hey, we want you to come and host a radio show here for us, the first question out of your mouth might be, who's my co-host?
Mm-hmm.
And then it might be, do I get to pick my own co-host?
Mm-hmm.
And So that happened. So I understand that. All the great organizations start from the top. Here's the difference now, and I think I like this, and now we put all the pressure on Waddell. He has a blank slate, blank check.
And that's what they
all
want.
We have no micromanaging owner here. 100%. We never have.
Mm-hmm.
And so now it's on him. Go hit a grand slam. Make the moves you want to make. But I thought it was a little bit, like, I don't need to hear, I talk to people, I talk to players, and things stuck in my head on why I needed. No.
You had your mind made
up.
Yeah, you had your mind made up. What I find interesting is, you know, you mentioned the quote there about he talked to players about Coach Vincent, and maybe that, you know, had some, you know, effect on his decision. We played a clip the other day, AR, from his press conference when he talked to the media, and he was asked about, will players have any input on the new head coach, and he completely slammed the door on that. So I find that interesting, right? On one hand, you're willing to invest in the opinions of the players and their input on maybe a guy getting let go, but those guys aren't going to have any say whatsoever when it comes to the new head coach. We talk about this a lot in sports. We don't ever believe that players should have the end-all, be-all decision when it comes to who they want to play for and those type of things, but to hear him maybe kind of say two different things about a similar topic, I know it's not apples to apples, I find that very interesting. So, yeah, you laid it out. There's so much work that needs to be done for this franchise to find a consistent path to becoming a good hockey club. We had the flash there in 2019 that we all thoroughly enjoyed, and that was a great ride. But it's time for this front office and everybody in charge over there to show us that they're going to put out a hockey club on the ice that people are going to be proud of, right? This fan base is salivating to really have a team be in the mix when it comes to the postseason. The attendance has been really good. Everybody keeps showing up, but the inconsistencies, I'm sure, have to be driving people crazy, and it starts from the top down. And now everybody needs to have the same vision, but more importantly, Don Waddell needs to figure out who's going to be in? Which path are we going down? You got the draft coming up. You got some restricted free agent decisions that you have to make. And are you going all in with the youth, or are you going to continue to try to maybe fast track this a little bit and bring in guys that are bigger names that maybe financially are going to be heavier on your books? We know what's going on with Line A right now. That whole trade situation is hovering over everyone's head, and you and I have talked a ton about the goaltending situation and what you can do with Elvis, or what can't you do with Elvis based off of his play here recently, but more importantly financially, is that something that another franchise would be willing to bring on? So yeah, summer after summer after summer, it's unfortunate that we've been talking about change or guys wanting out or whatever it may be. Hopefully this is the last time for the next few summers, and hopefully even beyond that, that we're talking about this Blue Jackets team trying to find their way.
Well, they got Chinny to a two-year extension today, so Chinnikov is in, and you got to like that. When he started, when you had that Russian line with Marchenko and Voronkov, and they got into that hot stretch, and like that was clicking. Now, here's the other thing, and this is about Pazzi, because people were upset when the Russian line started to go a little old, you know, like ad lib and freelance, stuff like that. The only thing I don't like, and I'm all good with the coaching change. That's fine. Mm-hmm. It's great. It's got nothing to do. Two things can be separate and true, that he's a good guy, we wish him well, and whatever, and they want to start with an experienced guy again. But you don't have to be a veteran, experienced coach to be the guy that only requires accountability. A young first-year coach can also acquire accountability. You don't have to be in the league for 10 years as head coach to have people want to listen to you or be accountable. Yeah. And so I think people got on him, you know, about like when the Russian line got a little bit of freelancy, and he, you know, I mean, okay, so that's, he's coaching the team. But here we are looking at it. And like I said, I hope in 3 to 5 years he hits a grand slam, but you mentioned it. The pennies on the dollar they're going to have to try to dish guys out for because of the problems that they have now contractually. We'll see. Patrick wants a new fresh start. Go and try to get whatever you can for him, and here we are. But we may have to take that big step back to take those steps.
That's forward. Where I'm at.
Paula Abdul strategy.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah.
Maybe a little moonwalk, too.
Two steps back.
I'm a fan of that. Let's take kind of eat our vegetables now, and then we can get on to the main courses and the desserts here.
You love
in the next
vegetables.
Few. I know
you
I
might
do,
put
but
those first
my,
anyway.
My favorite when there's, you know, broccoli and steak on the plate. It's the steak. So I feel like we need to take our medicine here for a little bit of time. Let's hit rewind, then hit play, and hopefully we'll be watching a good movie here in the coming years.
All right, we're going to come back. It's a Friday, and you know what that means. We put people and teams into our pressure cooker. That's next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
an ex-jock,
and a very puffy, smooth-faced man.
These are the first voices you should hear.
Morning Juice.
Your wake-up service.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rothman and Ice present Under Pressure.
Sponsored by United Dairy Farmers.
All right, a little pressure cooker time here on Rothman and Ice. This is an easy one for me, but Maddie, you may think I'm going the wrong way.
Oh.
So, the Florida Panthers, they've lost the last two, embarrassed in one of them. So, now they've blown two chances to win the Cup. And even worse, the best player on the planet is indefensible right now in Connor McDavid.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I looked at some analytics, so the Panthers won, game one winners of the Cup win 76% of the time. When you go up 2-0, 91%. 3-0, 96%. I don't know. And then all of a sudden, now it's 3-2. Now they're still up 3-2. So you'd think I'd be putting the pressure on the team that's facing elimination. I'm not going to do it. Yes, game seven would be back in Sunrise. I don't care. Florida has the pressure now. The bounce-back game after losing 8-1, what did they do? They got in a 3-0 hole to start things in game five. They have been outscored on their own power plays 2-1.
That doesn't even
make
sense.
I will repeat that. They've been outscored on their own. So, Oilers, 4-0 in elimination games in these playoffs. Barkov is pointless in his last two games. Bobrovsky, 4-plus goals, back-to-back games. He hasn't had three straight playoff games with a sub-850 save percentage in his career.
Mm.
The pressure is on Bob and the Panthers because of what they did at the beginning of this series. And even though they're up 3-2, they have the pressure.
By the way, when I was with my parents this weekend for Father's Day weekend, we were watching some of the pregame stuff for the game five. The blowout was game four,
Jack,
right?
Jack banging the drum.
No, but my parents absolutely loved how all the hockey players came in suits. They didn't know that that's a thing. We saw Bob coming in; he looked really clean coming in, and they were like, "Oh, this is what they do." Like, yeah, they come in looking good.
It's a fashion show.
It
for
looks
them
good
too.
They look really good. They look really good. You know what doesn't look very good right now? The product my Cincinnati Reds are putting out there on the diamond. You know, about a week ago, I called my T-shirt factory and I said, look, heat them up. Heat up the machines. Let's get something cooking up. We may have to put out another sale of T-shirts that say, print the shirts for the NL wild card. I don't know if that's going to happen anymore. The Reds have lost four of their last five games. The offense is stuck in the upside down. They're stuck in the upside down right now. It's a complete mess. Over the last five games, they've only scored more than three runs once. As a team, they are hitting .225, which ranks dead last in the National League.
Better, though.
I know. We've had injuries. I get it. But this offense has been a complete letdown all season long. If they're going to hang in the NL wildcard race, it needs to happen now. There are so many teams that are in the mix for the NL wildcard. We've got the trade deadline coming up sooner rather than later. But it's just time for this offense to show me something. And please, just be consistent. So I'm putting my Cincinnati Reds on the pressure list this weekend.
All right, maybe unfair because I don't think this team was supposed to be as good as they've been. I think they were projected for about 72 wins, which is awful. They probably had a 6% chance of making the playoffs this year. But I'm going to put a little pressure on the KC Royals right now.
Mm.
And I'll tell you why. Because they have their next three are at the sub-500 Rangers, and then three at home against last place Miami. The reason I'm putting the pressure on them is because that's right before they welcome in Cleveland for four. So KC has lost seven of their last 10. They're six games back of CB's Guards right now, a team that won't slow down. So Kansas City better get hitting. I saw they've scored nine runs in their last four games, and they've lost 11 straight when they score three or fewer. So now, like I said, there was zero pressure on them before the season. But they were very busy in the offseason, though. I thought they improved their roster. You and I thought Seth Lugo and Waka in the rotation, and they helped that bullpen. But the most expensive one was the big move on Bobby Witt Jr., who has been ridiculous.
He's
the face of the franchise.
Good.
How worth it is he? He's hitting .322.
Yeah.
That's second in the majors. 99 hits. That's second in the majors. 21 swipe bags. That's fourth in the majors. So they have to stay within shouting distance of the Guardians. The next six really matter for them. So I'll put the pressure on them.
I like it. I'm going to the NBA for my next candidate. I'm putting it on a head coach and his team. And he's a Columbus native in Mike Brown. Mike Brown, we talked about him about a month ago, right? He got a contract extension from Sacramento that's going to pay him about $8.5 million per year. But the reason why I'm putting him and his team on the pressure list today is because last night we found out they brought back a pivotal piece to their success. Malik Monk, Kentucky Wildcats, bounced around the league for a couple years, but he's found a home in Sacramento. Yesterday, he went on to sign a deal north of $75 million. 4 years, $78 million. This guy was the runner-up for the Sixth Man of the Year award last season. But Sacramento, they took a step back last year. The year before, Sacramento was the 3 seed in the West. Last year, they were the 9 seed. The core is there. De'Aaron Fox, Sabonis. You got Harrison Barnes, a seasoned vet. And now you have Malik Monk and some other guys that are really good. The reason why I'm putting them on the pressure list there is because the West is absolutely loaded. And it's loaded with teams that aren't very old. Yes, you still have Golden State and the Lakers that are still trying to hang on. But between Dallas and New Orleans and Minnesota, Denver, Oklahoma City, these are teams that have a whole bunch of runway now in the Western Conference. So the Sacramento Kings, let's see what you got going into this year. Big piece back last night, Malik Monk. So I'm putting their head coach on the pressure list. He's got to get that team rocking and rolling.
All right, I'll go to the golf course, and I'll put a guy in there that I just want to see play better, and he is playing better at Travelers right now. Ricky Fowler. So Ricky missed the cut at Memorial. He missed the cut at the Open. I can't remember back-to-back cuts for him in a couple of years. He shot 82 at Muirfield in the second round at Jack's Place. And there's no truth to the rumor that when I asked him if he brought orange for the weekend that I jinxed him yet again. Oh, I didn't swing the club for him. So I'm going to – maybe I'll take 50% of it. But he summed it up. He's pretty honest. I basically played terrible this year. Like, it's pretty simple. Could his wait be over? He shot a 664 yesterday at the Travelers. Hot putter. He's got one top 20 in 16 starts. Like, where have you gone? Ricky, don't lose that number. He's 111th in FedEx Cup points, and he's the only top 50 finisher from last year ranked outside the top 90. So he went off today at 11 o'clock. He's even par. There's no cut at the Travelers, but it's about a top 20 for Ricky. That's all I'm going to put on him this week.
Okay.
But he needs to get going with those back-to-back missed cuts. He's got some pressure now.
I like it. I like it a lot. Last one for me, I'm going to my hometown, and I'm going to talk about their baseball team. I'm talking about the Baltimore Orioles, specifically their front office, AR, because the Baltimore Orioles, they've been awesome this year. They've been really good. They're only a half game back of the New York Yankees, who are an absolute juggernaut with their pitching. They just got Gerrit Cole back, Judge Soto. We all know the deal for the pinstripes. But here we are with the Baltimore Orioles dealing with significant injuries to their starting staff. Kyle Bradish and John Means, those are two starting pitchers that they've lost for the year. Bradish had a 2.75 ERA when he got hurt, which ranked top 10 in all of Major League Baseball. I mentioned the trade deadline's not too far off for baseball. Here's what they got to do. There's a lot of smoke out there, AR, that the Yankees want Garrett Crochet. CB knows him. He pitches for the White Sox. He's an absolute stud. They have to get him. Corbin Burns is a free agent at the end of the year. You got Grayson Rodriguez, but they have the offense that's elite. They need to go out and acquire this pitching, and especially keeping him away from the New York Yankees. He's under control for a few years, so if you lose Corbin Burns at the end of the year, you'll still have a horse. I think it's paramount for the Baltimore Orioles, even if they don't get Crochet, to go out and get some arms to support the offense that they have. Baltimore Orioles front office, you're on the pressure list.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I like that. It's the only bright spot there in Chi-Town. All right, when we come back, we are live at Gigi's Drive for Dogs golf outing here at the awesome Cumberland Trail in Pataskala, and we'll fit in the overs and unders. CB has them prepared. Play along next. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
Wake up with the Fan. Eat lunch with the Fan. Go to bed with the Fan. Dream about the Fan. Then change your sheets. Gross.
Ew, you guys are gross, but stick around in case I don't find anyone else.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rothman and Ice presents Overs and Unders.
All right, CB, what have you prepared? Do I want to even know?
Are you referring to last week? Because I don't know if you want to know that.
Probably not.
Yeah,
I asked.
It was pretty rough. You went 1-5. The only one you hit was the U.S. Open over under. That went under 7.5 under par. Dave Biddle, he went 2-4. He got correct the Kelsey Plum. She went over her 18.5 versus the Liberty. And then he also got the weather. It did go slightly under the 91.5 degrees this past weekend.
Hey, you're on the board.
At least you got on the board. I got the one that was important to me, the U.S. Open.
There you go.
All right.
There you
go.
All right. Let's start off with the Crew are in action this weekend against Sporting Kansas City. The combined goals over under for that game is 2.5.
Kansas City has played them tough over the years, from what I remember. And I feel like, obviously, this is a much better team they're going to face in the Crew. I would say you got it at 2.5.
I'm going to go over.
I think we could get a 3-1 game. Something in that area.
You look at the last three games for the Crew, one goal against Miami, three against New York City, and then zero the game before that. 2.5, I feel like we're not asking for much.
Right.
So give me the over for combined goals for the reigning champs.
Real quick, I did forget to mention that we did the first period goals in that game four between the Oilers and the Panthers. You both went the under. That was the game that was the 8-1 game. There was four goals in that first period, so way over on that last
week.
Didn't
they pull Bob in like the second period?
They did.
Period?
Okay. Yeah. They did.
He looked sad.
Next up, Caitlin Clark. We will do over under 17.5 total points tonight versus Atlanta.
I like where she's at right now, AR. Last couple games, 23 and 18 points. She's starting to figure it out. Both her and Angel Reese, you can see just the game slowing down for them. We get Clark Reese this weekend. Is that Sunday? CB, were they square off?
I think so.
Again,
that sounds
so
right.
That rivalry's born. Last game, you had Angel Reese blowing kisses to the crowd in Indiana. Absolutely love that. I'm going to go with the over for Caitlin Clark because I think she's starting to really figure out the WNBA.
Yeah, I mean, when no one's taking her head off and knocking her into the first row, she's been pretty good. You had it 17.5?
Yes, that's right.
So she did not have a great game against Atlanta when she played him before, and I know they played him in the preseason too, and she was okay, but she didn't get near that number.
Last time she played Atlanta, you're right. You're so right. It was 7 points.
That's right. So I'm going to take the under on this.
Ooh, okay.
All right, next up, we will do game six of that Oilers-Panthers series. The over-under for total goals in that game is 5.5.
Feels like something's got to tighten up a little bit here. I do get afraid in these games that, you know, if Edmonton is down, they're certainly going to go empty, and they're going to go empty forever to try to get. I mean, there's no saving face anymore. A season would be over. But we could get a tight game, and then we could hit the over here late if Edmonton's down. I just feel like things have to tighten up a little bit. I'm going to take the under. It doesn't feel comfy, but I'm going to go under 5.5.
You mentioned something earlier about the last couple games in this series, and that is one man in Connor McDavid and just how electric he is.
He might hit the over on his own.
He is so locked in right now, and something's going on with Bob. We know he's been amazing this year for the Panthers. I'm going to go with the over. I think the Oilers are playing with a bunch of confidence, but you brought up the best point. One of the best players in the entire sport is cooking with hot grease.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm going with the over.
All right, our baseball line this week is Carlos Rodon. He takes on the Braves tonight. His over-under for strikeouts is 6.5.
This is interesting. Carlos Rodon against the Braves. The Braves, their offense has been so up and down, especially since they lost to Acuña, right, which is no surprise. The dude was the MVP last year and an absolute monster. They have so many good hitters still in that lineup. They've got some lefties in that lineup. Olsen, he'll see him a few times. Michael Harris, he's been out with the hammy. I'm going with the over. They got some injuries, and their offense has been a little too inconsistent for me, so give me the over for the lefty.
It's probably not a bad thought, Matty. I mean, he was bad against Boston and still got to 7 Ks. So even when he's bad, he can strike guys out. I feel like Atlanta is a weird team because they're striking out at a higher clip than this per game. If you do some quick math, I think they're probably in the 8.5, 9 K per game range. But, boy, he's such a roller coaster ride, Carlos. 6.5
Come
is
on,
your
roll
number.
With me. Roll with me, baby.
You're going over?
Yeah.
All right, tandem jump out of the plane. He could have 3, though. I mean, it's one of the – he could have 9, he could have 3. There's nothing too consistent about that. So All right, give me the over.
All right, next up, the golf this weekend is the Travelers Championship. This one kind of finishes in between 17 to 23 under par most years. Dang. So it was a hard line to set. I will set it, though, at over under 19 and a half.
So when Keegan won it last year at 23 under. All right. So, but if you start going through the history there, Xander was 19. Harris English was in the low teen. Dustin Johnson was at 19. So he's got the right number. That's the sad part. But I'm going to slow it down a little bit and take the under.
Okay.
I think the weekend could be a little harder. And I don't think we have – I know Kim's already at 13 under, mm-hmm. so it makes sense. But I don't know if I trust him to go all the way wire to wire. Morikawa's right there. I'm going to take the slight under on this.
Yeah, there's some heavy hitters right at the top, right? You mentioned Morikawa. Xander's right behind him at 10 under. Tony Finau's lurking in the weeds. Your boy Patrick Cantlay's at 7 under. 19 and a half, CB?
That's right.
It's a nice thick number. Oh, man. I love the momentum that Kim has. Mm-hmm. But golf is golf, and golf is going to humble you. I'm going to go with the under as well.
Especially when the pressure's on, if he's really there.
No doubt.
All right, weather's hard to set this week because there is such a gap between Saturday and Sunday for the highs, and that's pretty crazy to say when Sunday's high is looking at 86 degrees. Mm. It's looking like 95 in Columbus on Saturday. So we will set the over-under for the high temperature of the weekend reaching over under 95.5.
CB, you know it's been blazing hot when I'm thankful that we're getting into the mid-80s.
Like, that's right.
I cannot wait to get to that. I am going to go with, it sounds like tomorrow would be the day, AR. Tomorrow would be the day. It's supposed to be silly sizzling out there. It's a good number. Give me the over, though. We get one more day.
So when I left Chicago, it was beastly hot, and I get home, and then I look at my phone, and I see that it's like in the low 60s. And I texted my brother. I go, is my phone lying to me? Is it really like suddenly, did you guys drop like 30 degrees? Like, he's like, yeah, for now. And as my friend Jeff likes to say, I'd like a little for now. Like, can we have a little for now? Like, we take a little bit of a break.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's like 70s in Chicago now the minute I leave and come back to this. I think you're right. I think we ride the over on this. If we can get to 96, it pays. The ticket cashes. Yeah. And if we're going to get that close, let's just take the over.
There we go.
All right. Well done, CB. Yeah,
you guys are into your over-unders because lunch just arrived. And while you guys get to eat, and let me let you know that the Schmitz-Cardale-Jones Celebrity Softball Game is coming. Why picnic when you can Schmitznick? And it is presented by Monogram Homes in the U.S. Air Force Saturday, July 20th, 6:30 p.m. at Huntington Park. Current Ohio State football players, and they're taking on some former Ohio State football players as well. The captains for the former players is going to be Cardale Jones. For the current players, it will be Emeka Egbuka. Tickets are only $10, and they are available today at BuckeyeCruise.com. Again, tickets are $10, and you can get them at BuckeyeCruise.com. The event takes place Saturday, July 20th.
All right.
What we got here?
Lunch is served at the Cumberland Trail Bar and Grill, looking solid.
We got some wraps here, some tenders. Okay.
Yeah, we got it all going.
I see you. And I got my trail mix. So there
Maddie's going to go with his home brought nuts.
Well, real quick.
No more nuts.
Real quick, this is Friday. It's technically the weekend, and I know you like to cheat on the weekend. Why aren't you getting anything?
We haven't made it yet. So the sun has to go down on a Friday for me to enjoy that. This smells amazing.
Those calories are going to waft into his nose.
Oh, man. It really does smell good because CB's got some chicken tenders right here with some of that barbecue sauce.
Yeah.
What do you got here? A little Caesar wrap?
Yeah,
is that what we got
here? You talked me into the wrap.
Listen, if I ever go.
I was going to go with a. Can I buy you a fish sandwich? But I went with the wrap.
If I ever have to go out to get lunch for you, I know what to get. I've seen you eat plenty of wraps throughout the years, and you can't go wrong with a wrap. They hit every time.
Yeah. Do they hit every time?
I think so. It's all about
60% of the time.
To me, it's about having the sauce on the side.
Okay.
When you have the sauce on the side.
I controlled the Caesar. I asked for the Caesar on the
side. You're a smart man, because then you don't have to worry about the wrap getting all soggy and all that. Yeah, yeah. Get those fries in there,
baby. You guys are going to be, I don't know if this sounds stupid or not, I'm going to dip my fries in the Caesar dressing.
Okay, let me go ahead and send it to break while you guys are eating your French fries. When we come back, we'll hit you with a Buckeye Bulletin, Rothman and Ice, right here on The Fan.
Here's a listener tweet. Are men and bones stupid in real life? Yes. Yes, they are. Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Rothman and Ice present Buckeye Bulletin.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Don't go through another air conditioner breakdown. For fast, friendly service, call the experts at Logan Services now for a free estimate and next day air installation.
All right, Buckeye Bulletin time. Maddie, you got a little recruiting news
for
us? Oh,
yeah, we got a boom popping off coming from inside the Woody because the 2025 classes, it's off the chain right now. You know what I'm saying? And now they add another wide receiver, Brian Hartline. He stays in state. He goes up to Mansfield, and it looks like he's landed Bodpen Miller. And this guy seems to be an absolute blazer. He's got explosive speed. He's got good size. So now he's coming into this factory, this wide receiver factory that is Ohio State. Clearly, Coach Hartline sees a vision for him. He's 6'4". He's less than 200 pounds right now. But that speed, it looks like, can be a weapon in the future. Three-star guy. Looked like he was planning to take a visit here to Boston College. But he got an offer from Ohio State, and that was all she wrote. So an in-state kid. I'm going to assume right now that he had a dream of playing for Ohio State, got the offer. He gets now the chance to get coached up by one of the best wide receiver coaches in the entire country. So just another addition to this 2025 class that was ranked number one in the country, or has been ranked number one in the country, according to 24/7 Sports over the last few days.
You know what? This is what you like. You like a guy to come to camp and show off for Hartline and then open his eyes enough to say, wait a minute, what did he run?
Right.
Wait, I thought he was a 4.7 guy. Wait, he ran 4.4 or 4? Like, all of a sudden, that's what happens. And so the fact that this kid grew up a diehard Buckeye fan, you said Mansfield,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Mansfield.
So
yep.
right up the road. And all of a sudden, this is a life-changing moment for this kid, and you have a feeling he's going to use it to the best of his ability.
Yeah.
But that's what you like to hear when guys grow up in the state and have a dream of doing it, and then having the talent and the work ethic to try to impress and do it. And it sounds like that's exactly what happened, that he 100%. Separated himself.
100%. I mean, you mentioned the speed. I mean, at that size, too, right? You don't see a ton of guys at 6'4", 6'5", with the ability to run, you know, a 4'4", 4'5". Type of 40. So, you know, I'm sure there's some things to work on, but Coach Hartline's, I'm sure, going to fine tune that, and he's going to come in here and be tested. That's the beautiful thing about Ohio State. When you're a young guy or you're a transfer coming into a program like this, you go inside that Woody Hayes Center, or you go out to those practice fields on the outside, there's some dudes rolling around. They're going to test your will and test your ability. So he had some offers. I mentioned Boston College was in the mix. It looks like Northwestern was around and Iowa State as well. So this seems like a guy that Ohio State got in on early, and they're going to absolutely work on him. And we shall see in maybe 25, 26 and beyond if he can be a dude coming out of the tunnels on Saturday.
Sweet name, too.
Yeah, man.
I hope we're pronouncing it correctly.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
That's awesome. But congrats to Mr. Miller, I'll call him right
now. Yeah, we'll roll with that.
That's great. You know, Deeps was in on the Buckeye show the other night
while
I was gone, so that's outstanding. Timmy and Tyvus had him on. And I started thinking about, you know, the transfers he's really going to be counting on. And because they brought in four transfers this season. And you had an all-SEC guard, obviously from Ohio. You had the McDonald's All-Americans and five-star recruits. And then it's Micah Parrish, the kid from SDSU, and Oakland, I think he also played for. But anyway, he's coming in. This is his last ride. This is fifth and final college seat. Like, this is it for him. And hopefully he'll start for Deebs. And the interesting part is that he's now the most experienced guy as far as playing basketball in college. And he actually has... Hey, I played in a national title game on my resume with SDSU. Here's Diebler on Micah Parrish.
He might have lost less than 10 games in the
last
2 years.
Yeah,
I mean,
he's winning
and played significant minutes. So, national championship game and Sweet 16 this year in back-to-back years.
Mm-hmm.
So, he's a really, really important piece. He's a really good player, a really important piece. I think our style fits him well, and he's got good positional size. I mean, he's, you know, 6'5 guard, so be good.
Very good. He, like I said, 4 years at Oakland, San Diego State combined. It's not like he played lights out in the Natty game, but he was there, and he got to experience that. And something this team is trying to get back to is tournament basketball. And so Micah Parrish is one of those guys that maybe is kind of unsung in this transfer portal that Jake brought in.
Yeah.
But he may be the one to watch.
100%, right? And we talk so much just about, you know, the football team and the experience they're going to have this year and how that could pay off for them. Guys that are going to be playing basketball this year that could have a lot of minutes on their plate. I mean, Michi and Bruce and Parrish. I mean, just three guys off the top of my head there. Those are guys that have been around the block a few times, and they're going to come in, and they're absolutely going to be focused. And he knows, you know, what it takes. He was inside a locker room that found a way to get to the ultimate prize. And one thing I'm very curious to see, AR, is can he provide a bit of that spark from the outside? We know how good Jamison Battle was as a three-point shooter in this conference, more specifically here at Ohio State this past season, one of the best in the Big Ten. And I know for Parrish, he's had, you know, maybe a little bit of an up-and-down ride at the three-point shot, but he's going to have his opportunities, I believe, and clearly Coach Diebler likes him. So hopefully he can come in here to Ohio State, get in the lab with his teammates, and when we see him out there on the hardwood, he can provide some of that experience, but more importantly, some buckets.
No doubt. They want to play with pace. They want to play with confidence. I thought Deebs brought that. We've talked about it, though, extensively. Last season in a vacuum was very special at the end. That's what got him the job and his belief and then what they felt his future would be. But that gets put away in the drawer and closed.
It's gone.
Whatever chemistry, whatever, hey, we got our coach fired. Let's not let the same thing happen to this guy. And they went on a run. They beat Purdue right out of the gate, and then it was on. The belief, the confidence was there. But each team has to be its own creator of that confidence. I don't think they can live off last year at all.
I completely agree. Yeah. I completely agree. You got to clean up the middle of the regular season. That's been an issue the last couple of years. But can we hear the one from Coach Diebler where he talks about his emotional coaching style?
Yeah, I think that's who I am. And yeah. my dad coached that way. He was fiery and a lot of emotion. I played that way, quite honestly. I wasn't a good enough player to not play that way.
Yeah.
And it was an important part of who I was as a player. But I got a little, it's funny, after that game, I got a message from head of officials in our league, and he was like, hey, you can't be that close to half court, man. We're going to have to do something about that. So
I love it. I absolutely love it. I think you can have the timely tech every once in a while when you're a head coach. But sometimes teams can just, your players can feed off of that injury. You don't have to get a tech to get your guys going, but sometimes you can feel, hey, early on in the game, we don't have it. I need to light a fire under these guys. And sometimes when you get in the ear of the refs too throughout a game, that can work in your favor late in the game. So I like a coach that's all in with his emotions. Just, you got to hope that it won't cost you in the wrong way throughout a game.
Very good. That is today's Buckeye Bulletin. We are live at the Gigi's Drive for Dogs outing at Cumberland Trail in Pataskala, supporting one of the great shelters here in Central Ohio. And if you want to check them out, gigis.org is the place. And it's what a facility. But any shelter, any rescue, any adoption, you know, is close to my heart. So whatever is close to you, if I can reach one person today who's thinking about bringing an animal into their life, that's awesome. Just adopt. It's the coolest thing. There's a dog or a cat living in a cage right now somewhere that you can be a hero to. Be that hero. We'll come back with a deep dive, get into our final hour. We'll throw some chin music with J-Lew, and a former Buckeye is everything people said. We'll tell you what that means next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
Winners of the prestigious Platinum Microphone Award every year, given to the best radio station in the world. No need to look it up. It's real. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Most shows just skim the surface, but Rothman and Ice feel like the biggest story of the day deserves a closer look. It's time for a deeper dive.
Sponsored by Maxima Concrete. Visit MaximaConcrete.com today to schedule your free estimate.
All right, Rothman and Ice, alive from Cumberland Trail in Pataskala, supporting Gigi's Drive for Dogs, the great shelter down at Canal. Check them out at gigis.org. We had Archie Griffin on. We had Troy Smith on. They're out on the course now supporting it as well. So awesome to see the legendary Buckeyes here as well. Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice, CB at the switches today. Happy to start your weekend. We're happy to start our weekend with you. And so we'll have Jensen Lewis on at 2:33. Looking for hopefully a game 7 in the Stanley Cup final. That'd be awesome if Edmonton forces a 7 and they go back to Sunrise on Monday. We'll see. Puck drops tonight at 8 o'clock. And we also were talking about a lot about Buckeyes going to the NFL and what to expect. And, you know, it's not often when you see a rookie go in with as much praise as Marvin Harrison Jr. has had. I mean, the guys get hyped, and I get it. But he's a two-time unanimous All-American. Back-to-back seasons of at least 65 catches, a lot of yards, a lot of touchdowns. We all witnessed them. And he's got a Pro Football Hall of Fame dad. But people are starting to believe that he's bigger, potentially faster, and better than his dad.
No doubt.
And he hasn't even caught a pro ball yet.
Second-year cornerback. Garrett Williams was asked about old Marvy Marv, and he used one word, special. Then he went on to say, quote, you look at his height, and then you look at his movement ability. Those two things usually don't match up like that. So for him to do it and make everything look so easy, the ball tracking ability, he's everything people said he is. Wasn't there a Cardinal head coach that went to the podium and said, they are who we thought they were? That's the same type of energy. That's your boy, Danny Green. Minnesota Viking, right? Was there for a little bit of time, too. That's the vibe I'm getting from Garrett Williams there, who I'm sure has gone maybe in, you know, some one-on-one matchups with him throughout OTAs and minicamp and all that good stuff. It's no surprise to us. It's no surprise to anyone listening. We watch this guy be absolutely incredible here at Ohio State. He's going to have those moments, right, where he gets maybe a couple different looks every now and then that maybe he hasn't seen, or he gets a good matchup, you know, against an elite corner in the NFL. But because of his whole tools, the whole tools that he has. I mean, whether it is the speed, whether it is the size, he's always going to find a way to be very successful. And he's attached himself to a pretty doggone good quarterback in the NFL. A lot of times when you get picked that high, obviously you're going to a bad team with probably some inconsistency at the most important position. That's why they are picking that high. That's not really the case. Kyler's been a guy that, hey, you catch him on the right weekend, he looks pretty darn good. He's had his injuries and all that stuff that has held him back. But I do think because of the opportunities that he is going to have and the quarterback that he's going to be around, Marvin, I think, is going to have a monster year. I mean, you look at where they were at last year, Marquise Hollywood Brown, a lot of people are excited about what he's going to do in a Kansas City Chiefs uniform. That dude's gone, and he racked up 101 targets. He was second on the team in Arizona. So I think Marvin's rolling into a situation they are where it's minimum 120 targets his rookie year. So based off of the volume there and how elite I think this guy is and will be right away, Marvin's going to be special in the NFL.
So this was interesting during the draft that there were some people that came out that said that maybe Malik Nabers, maybe Roma Dunze, maybe A.D. Mitchell, that there were guys that were equal or as good as Marv or better, and we didn't know. This was my thought on it. It wasn't that I was willing to discount those guys at all. Of course I wouldn't. I just said to you, I don't have the guts to go with another guy. I'd rather somehow the 1% chance Marvin Harrison Jr. doesn't live up to being a great pro, I'd rather live with that than overthink it and make the choice on that I think one of these guys is going to be better. They may all turn out to have great careers, and you hope they do. But when it came to picking receivers, if you were going to have one, I wouldn't have had the guts to do it. And they didn't, obviously. And I don't know how close it ever got to them saying that they would take someone beside him. But if you were zeroing in on a receiver, because, listen, Nabers, his skills are rare, too. I mean, he can change directions. He can accelerate. He can do it all. He has athleticism. They all do. And we saw Dunze, who was very good this year when he had a good, when he had a laser throwing quarterback giving him the ball. So, you know, if they weren't in a class with Marvin Harrison Jr., then Nabers, we'd probably be talking about him as an easy wide receiver one, and we still may, and a player who's worthy of the top 10. There are probably a few of those guys that were worthy of top 10. I just wouldn't have the guts to do it. They didn't either. How close do you think that ever got to them thinking, is it Neighbors or Harrison?
It kind of feels like a situation where I don't think they could lose either way, because I don't know if the production between the guys or one guy's going to separate himself so much from the other that you're going to feel like you missed. I think both these guys are going to be productive. Neighbors is in a situation where it could get dicey in year one based off of their quarterback situation with Danny Dimes over there and how inconsistent he has been. But Neighbors is going to be a dude, and that wide receiver rookie class is very interesting with where some of these guys have landed. But even our friends over at Bet365, when you pull up the tab that reads most regular season rookie receiving yards, he's the heavy favorite. It's plus 160 for Marvin Harrison Jr. Then second in line is Malik Neighbors at plus 550. Then you get to Keon Coleman. He's actually in third. That kind of surprised me, but he is attached to Josh Allen, so I understand that. Then Ladd McConkey with the Chargers. And then you go down to even most regular season rookie receptions, and he's a huge favorite. I mean, it's minus 110 for Marvin. Second in line is Malik Neighbors. So that's what we're talking about. Just we hear the term generational talent, I think, way too much sometimes when we talk about a lot of these prospects in all the sports, but he seems like he has a chance to be one of those guys, and you can't ignore who his pops is, right? When you come from, you have that DNA flowing through your veins, and you just seen what it takes to reach the ultimate goal of becoming a Hall of Famer, and you have that in you, man. Yeah, it's not going to be a surprise at all if we're talking about him as a, you know, I think in the fantasy world, a top 12 receiver in year one. It really won't surprise me if he finishes inside the top 12.
Boy, that's got me thinking now. You know, every time you run out fantasy, like, you start thinking about, where am I going to draft this guy? What am I going to do?
I'd take him fairly early. I would take him fairly early.
So my thoughts are, let me go through this in my mind a little bit. So you like Jefferson a little better than I do this year, and I'm only saying that because of the quarterback situation, that I'm worried about the Vikes and him getting what he needs to get. So I would err more in my mind. I'm putting Tyreek and Chase and CeeDee above Jefferson, just in my own head, just on who's throwing him the football. But you're right. The targets are always going to be there. They got to throw to somebody.
Freaking Justin Jefferson.
And he is Justin Jefferson. But the other guys are no slouch themselves.
They're not bad either.
And you know how much I like Amon-Ra because of how good he is and then the indoor stuff. I'm not saying I'm dropping JJ all the way to 5 on my list, but I could be talked into it. But where am I getting? You're not taking Marvin Harrison because I know you like Garrett Wilson. Taking him above Garrett.
You know where I'm at on Garrett Wilson. I think Garrett Wilson could be wide receiver one in fantasy this year. That's what I think about him.
So I'm just trying to get to a number. I wanted to find out where your number is.
Top 12. He's in the top 12. He's going to finish in the top 12. Are you asking me, like, drafting before?
What I'm trying to do is put you on the hot seat right now. Okay. You're picking. You need a receiver. Mm-hmm. Are you taking Marvin Harrison Jr. over A.J. Brown?
Man. Yes.
Okay.
Because you know what I like, AR. I want all the opportunity I can get. And I know A.J. is a freak show. But now you got Saquon in the mix. And you got Devonta. So I would take Marvin. I would.
All right. Are you taking Marvin Harrison Jr. over Devontae Adams?
Now that's a good one. Where are we at with Devontae and his age? Early 30s? We got to be early 30s at 31?
Devontae
Adams. How
old
is Devontae Adams?
30, 31. Yeah, he's
right around there.
He's got to be 30.
Okay. Yeah. And their quarterback situation, I don't love.
That's
Gardner Minshew and maybe Aiden O'Connell. Spinning it for the Raiders.
He's got the JJ problem.
This is freaking Devontae Adams. The same way I had to remind myself that it is.
So let me go down my list.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can just tell me whether you're taking this guy or Harrison. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I know you're not taking him above the guys I mentioned: CeeDee, Tyreek, Chase.
No, I can't take him. No, I'm not there yet.
Rob.
Not that confident.
But you did say you take him over AJ Brown. That's quite bold. You're not taking him over Puka. Maybe you are. I don't know.
I probably wouldn't do that.
Okay. So right now you have him above A.J. Brown, but nobody else on my list. Garrett Wilson, you're not. You're taking Garrett. And where are you on Devontae?
I would. Oh, man. See, it's the name brand that I'm scared to go away from, but I'm going to stick with Devontae for one more year.
All right. Now I think it gets interesting. Because now I would ask you, would you take Marvin Harrison over Brandon Ayuk?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm kind of in there.
So many mouths to feed.
Fantasy-wise, too.
So many mouths to feed.
Yeah. Is he, you didn't take him over one former Buckeye. Are you going to take him over another?
Olave?
Yeah.
You love Derek Carr. How are you feeling about your boy? You do
love him.
That's his guy. You don't. You do, that's your boy, though. He is your boy.
Find these middling, like above average quarterbacks are my thing.
You do love them, though. Yeah. It started with Tannehill a few years ago.
It did.
Olave or Garrett or Marvin Harrison.
I think I'm rolling the dice with Marvin.
I think I'm just with you.
I think the volume and wanting to get
that's
him,
what I'm saying. The volume's going to be crazy this year.
I am. I don't know how much further I can go unless I drop a Debo in your lap, and I don't know.
I take Marvin.
In fantasy.
I take Marvin.
Soul fantasy.
Yeah, so like for me, I feel really.
Oh, I got one for you.
Okay, we got.
Because he just got a new quarterback. Mm. How about Drake London?
I haven't seen it with my eyes yet. And I don't know if I'm fully there in my mind that Drake London's a horse at receiver. Like, I don't know confidently.
Got Cousin Kirk now.
He does. He does have Cousin Kirk. But no, I would take Marvin over, because that's got to work itself out with just Pitts and Mooney and Bijan and all that stuff. And plus, you know how I felt about the Falcons' offense last year. I was ticked off about Arthur Smith. But yeah, I would roll with Marvin.
Mike Evans?
That's you know what you're getting. Every year it's 1,000 yards with him. But yeah, I'd take Marvin. That's how confident. How good I think the dude's going to be.
I think
in
we've gotten there. And I'm not going to take DJ Moore over him because I don't know what Caleb's going to be.
Plus, there's.
I found maybe one more, but I doubt you would do this because of the mouths to feed, and I agree with you on that. So there were two other guys I was going to throw out to you. One was Nico Collins, and the other was Jalen Waddle.
See, Waddle's been getting busy.
I know. I've had him. I had him last year.
He gets busy next to Tyreek.
Mm. But he's got competition
on his
team.
He does. And I'd probably fall maybe 30 to 40 targets shy of what Marvin's going to get on the other side. So I'm going to continue to roll a volume. That's what you want in fantasy. You want the at-bats. You want those. You have the running back. You want the red zone touches. You want, and I think Marvin's going to be so good week in and week out, and Kyler's going to fall in love with him. So, yeah, there's a lot of guys that I would pass up on to roll with a guy that I haven't seen play in the NFL, but I've seen this guy play the last couple years at Ohio State. And with what Ohio State receivers have done in the NFL and how impactful they've been right away, this guy's next in line to do the same thing.
CB, you take in Marvin Harrison Jr. over your boy Amari Cooper?
I think I would. Yeah. I saw Field Yates had him at 10, wide receiver 10.
Marvin?
So that's how much I think the consensus experts out there really think of him. Yeah, I would absolutely take him.
I actually like the 10 spot because that falls in line with Maddie's take, which is that if you take him above A.J. Brown and above Brandon Ayuk, that's 10. Because if it's Tyreek, Jamar, JJ, CD, Amon,
Puka,
Garrett, Devontae. He might even be 9.
By the way, speaking of Phil Yates, I saw he had Anthony Richardson as his quarterback 3.
And you
can talk me into that. You can talk me into that.
You're not taking him over Stroud.
I'd think about it. The rushing ability.
You're not taking him over Lamar.
He's going to be in that neighborhood.
You're not taking him over Mahomes.
I think he could be. You're talking about, I think he's going to be a
Josh
monster.
Josh Allen? No.
You love Josh Allen,
no,
too. That's your guy. You do love Josh
fantasy.
Allen.
No, we're talking fantasy.
No, but I'm very high on Anthony Richardson. So when I saw Field Yates put out that he had him ranked 3rd overall.
Taking him over your boy Dak?
I really did. I didn't scoff at it. I just
3?
Yeah. I think either that's where he has him ranked or where he thinks he can finish. Either way, clearly Field Yates thinks he's going to be a fantasy beast this year. And I'm with him on that.
Yeah, it's probably officially weight on quarterback now. I always reach, and I did really well reaching last year. Mm-hmm. I think I'm done with the reach around.
How are you going to feel when you get Gardner Minshew?
Gardner Minshew? Come on, there's got to
You don't want to wait that long, CB.
No, but if I end up with Kirk Cousins or who else? Tua?
Here's a good early would you rather. Would you rather wait on quarterback or wait on tight end? Because there's guys like a David Njoku or a Jake Ferguson going
on
tight end like 9 or 10.
I'm waiting on quarterback. Mm. I'd rather have me a solid.
Because he wants LaPorta.
He's a beast. It was a great call out of him.
I scouted him. I was ahead of the curve on it.
That was a good pick. That was a good pick.
All right. Are we taking LaPorta over Kelce?
Ooh. Because Kelsey, here's the thing. The last thing we saw from Kelsey was him being a monster in the playoffs. But the regular season was not good, according to his standards. LaPorta is ready to pop off. I take LaPorta.
Yeah, I'm pretty close to that as well. Because with Kansas City, you think, wait a minute, Mahomes has nobody, but yet that may even create the volume we want with Kelsey. Yeah. All right, we're going to come back. Pre-snap reads. We stay with the NFL. And Shefty on the next QB contract. Rothman and Ice on the Fan.
Question from a listener. Do you dopes ever get tired of talking about Ohio State? No. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Rockman and Ice present Pre-Snap Reads.
Sponsored by the Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
All right, Ice, Bet365 time.
Yes, sir, because at Bet365AR, we don't do ordinary, and you can see for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. What are you eyeing up today?
So I feel like I have to bet the Stanley Cup tonight. I feel like I got to put my money where my mouth is and hope for a game seven.
Okay.
I just don't know how greedy I want to be and whether I want to lay the goal and a half to get the plus 210 or just take the Oilers to win at minus 120. Bake, you want to weigh in on that? You like the Oilers tonight?
I do not. I still like goalie Bob and the Panthers.
You're going with Bob as a bounce back? And listen, it could easily happen. He's that good. He's been that good. I'll tell you what. I'll play middle of the road.
Okay.
I'll take the Oilers tonight just to win.
Okay, I'm going down to GABP, or as Jaylee likes to call it, the Great American Launching Pad, because we got the Boston Red Sox in the house tonight. And this is for Bake, because I know Bake wants this guy to become a Cincinnati Red. Give me a Tyler O'Neill dinger, a former Cardinal. It kind of pains me to say this, but the dude's been rolling right now. Three home runs in his last three games. And as you know, AR, down there, GABP, it's just a flick of the wrist, and you can get the ball over the fence.
Flick of the wrist.
So I'm going with Tyler O'Neill. The juice on that is plus 235. So that's interesting to me when you talk about an anytime dinger. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Bet365 is the official sports betting partner of the Cleveland Guardians. Download the Bet365 app today. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
And may the odds be ever in your favor.
You know, the anytime goal for Connor McDavid is plus 145.
Oh, give me that all day and tomorrow. Goalie Bob,
that may be a better bet than what I just
said. I like that a lot.
Or Zach Hyman, he's plus 135. I think yeah, all the boys. All right, so yeah, I really want to see a game seven. It's not like I want to put that hex on Bob, because I do like him, and he's very, very good. But at home in a game seven,
when would game seven be? Monday, like next 2 weeks from now, with the way that they're doing
Monday,
this game?
Okay. Yeah, they got to go all the way from.
Oh my gosh! With the flight, get your butt down there and play
the jet lag and the time change and all that,
lag.
Right?
Yeah, jet lag on the beach in Florida. That's how you can solve that.
That is the place to do it. All right, we've got
not the next day, but
you it's
know.
You know the jet lag and the time change and all that,
lag.
Right?
Yeah, jet lag on the beach in Florida. That's how you can solve that.
That is the place to do it. All right, we've got the next quarterback in line. Well, let's hear from Shefty first. You guys set this up for me.
Or Jordan Love or Tua Tagovailoa. But if you're Jordan Love or you're Tua Tagovailoa, I think those teams were probably saying to those players, well, we can't pay you as much as Joe Burrow, who was making $55 million a year. But now Trevor Lawrence's average is $55 million a year. And Jordan Love and Tua Tagovailoa can come back to those teams and say, well, we've accomplished as much as Trevor Lawrence, and therefore we believe we should be paid like Trevor Lawrence, which is at $55 million. So Trevor Lawrence's deal boosted the argument for Jordan Love and for Tua Tagovailoa. Again, Dak Prescott, Kevin, in a different category because he can't be traded. He can't be tagged. He can become a free agent after this year. There's no player in all of football with more leverage and power right now than Dak Prescott. But Jordan Love and Tua, who have been in talks with their new teams, now have a new deal to present and say, we're not going to take less than Trevor Lawrence.
You're a man that if you were running an NFL team, you know, sometimes you like to see a little bit more. Would you be willing to hand Jordan Love 5 for $275? Or let's say 5 for $250 right now. Are you there yet?
Well, they signed him to a one-year extension. Yeah. It was about $13-14 million last May, and that contract expires after this season, so you're right. I could wait another year, but he's on track to hit free agency following this season. This is a tough one because they really hit their stride with him late in this last season. And all he did was throw it to guys that weren't experienced, they were young, but committing all that money to Love, boy, it's tough. That sample size is so
tiny.
Small.
It's tiny.
The guy's got less than 20 career starts. I'm not even putting the team on him because the team was really good too. But, boy, you're betting on what he can become. And I think what we've seen is that he has a future. There's no reason to deny that he has a future. That wasn't on luck completely last year.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going anywhere. I would do it. I think in this NFL, and the phrase I like to say, it's the cost of doing business to find yourself a quarterback. I'm uncertain about his long-term stuff. I mean, he looked really good. And now, the question I have for you, and I'll throw it back to you. Mm. I'll pull a Bill Burr. Let me ask you what you think, Matty. What about from Jordan Love's perspective? Maybe he wants to let this year play out if he can't get the money that you're talking about.
It's hard to dive in these guys' minds, right?
Because then it puts the Packers on like, wait a minute, he could leave us?
Correct.
Yeah.
I think it's so hard to pass up on just that type of
But what
money.
If it isn't? What if it's less than that but still great?
I think it's
Jordan Love, what would you do?
I don't think they're going to make him the highest paid quarterback in the league. Trevor Lawrence, no. Joe Burrow, 55 a year. He might get 50. Like, he might get 50. AR, I need the Jordan Love hype train just to slow down just a little bit. Just a little bit. I think he's good. It was a good second half of the year. The first half of the year was inconsistent. The playoff stuff was the same. The game against Dallas was awesome, but some of the other stuff was just kind of eh. So for them, I want to see a little bit more. I'd feel much better about handing a contract to Tua right now than I would to Jordan Love if we're talking about it being in that ballpark based off of what I've seen Tua do in the NFL when they keep him upright. At the end of the day, Jordan Love's not going anywhere. Like you said, he's going to be the quarterback of the future there. We're just kind of splitting hairs with all of this stuff. But he is one of those guys that seems like he's going to come up on a massive payday with not too much on his resume.
They scouted him. They got him. He's their next star. It would make sense for them to kind of lean into what we have found. They did it with Rodgers. They're trying to do it with Love.
He ain't going anywhere.
But I just wanted to play out that reversal, which is if he doesn't get what he wants, and then he says to them, you know what? I'm going to play this year out.
Ooh.
Then we'll see where I stand.
It feels like their relationship's in a good spot, though. Because you mentioned off the top, they hit him with an extension early.
They didn't
need to do that.
No, they brought him up.
They're going to come to the table with a big old bag.
Yes, and they're going to probably bet on what they discovered.
You have to.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, Jensen Lewis with us, a little chin music, a certain pitcher. What will we get out of him? We'll ask him next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
This promo is brought to you by Common Man and Timmy Hall's Ping Pong Game. The Fan.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You're
own risk. It's time for some gin music with former big leaguer and president of the Bald Is Beautiful fan club, Jensen Lewis.
Sponsored by Logan AC and Heat Services. Feeling the heat? Call the experts at Logan Services now for hot deals on Trane air conditioners.
That's right. He's our guy, Jensen Lewis. Former Cleveland closer with us now, and he does it all. J-Lew, how we feeling?
We are cool at the moment, but we'll be traversing out into the great unknown of triple-digit temperatures here in a few hours. I'm sure you guys are just swallowed in it right now, too.
Yeah, we're in a steady flow of, as I say to Maddie, when you come out to a golf course like we're doing now, it's, I have two words for you, talc up.
Talc,
because,
is right.
It's that kind of a day. All right, so let me ask you about what I can expect from Carlos Carrasco. You got a veteran here, not a lot of hard contact given up last time. I think it was only one extra base hit off him. He got tagged, though, for five for the fourth time in his last eight starts. So what is your anticipation?
Yeah, I guess the conditions probably concern me a bit more, because just in this Seattle series, fellas, we saw the ball travel pretty well and really some balls that might have been warning track flyouts ended up going over the wall. So trying to really establish the inside part of the plate would be what I would look at. You know, it's tough. But I think he can do enough to put them in position to win. I don't have a good read yet. I mean, this thing could be a 2-1. It could be a 10-8. But I think he's got enough with the struggles of the Blue Jays offense just overall. And the way the bullpen is set up right now, Cade Smith really saved them yesterday, getting the double play to end the seventh and throwing a scoreless eight to hand it off to Manuel Clase. I think he can get through five. He may not be asked to do more than that, and with the conditions and the temperatures the way they are, he may not even have more than five innings with how hot it's going to be.
Yeah, no doubt. J-Lew, you mentioned the struggling Blue Jay offense. One guy who isn't struggling on offense right now is Stephen Kwan. Like, this guy is absolutely on a crazy heater. Like, if J-Lew had to attack Stephen Kwan right now, how can you get this guy out?
Yeah, you probably hold up four fingers, Matty. To be quite honest, the staggering statistic of the day was he came into yesterday with a 92.4 contact percent. Now, what that means, guys, is almost 10 out of 10 times he swings, he's making contact with the ball. And that is a feat in and of itself, let alone him now approaching 400. He touched it the other day and then just dipped back down. But he's hitting 500. Let me repeat that. He's hitting 500 since coming off the IL. And I don't really, you know, get too starstruck on performances or stretches, because I know how hard it is to do this and to play this game. But Matty, you know, AR, the numbers are really ridiculous. He's got a 1,200 OPS. You know, he's got a 700 slug for a guy that's not known to be hitting the ball at the ballpark. And, you know, right now, I think we realize Kyle Tucker on the IL, he's in that third spot in the American League outfield voting. But, damn, guys, I mean, what a sight it would be to have Stephen Kwan lead off the All-Star game for the American League with Juan Soto and Aaron Judge behind him, because he's going to score. He's going to get on. But what he's doing right now, Matty, is just otherworldly.
Jensen Lewis with us, throwing some chin music here on Rothman and Ice. How deep can we go here for World Series contenders? I mean, I get past, you know, the Yanks and the O's, and man, we talk about the Phils and the Dodgers. How deep do we go?
You know, with the way that the National League wildcard picture is set up, that might be a little smoke and mirror campaign here. And the only team that I think could, actually, there's two teams I think that could be the Arizona Diamondbacks of last year, and really they were out of the playoff picture in August and then got hot and, you know, ran off that great run of the World Series. Atlanta is going to be an easy suspect because of what they're capable of and what they'll do at the trade deadline, and they've got the horses if they're healthy. They just can't match up against the Phillies in a division series. If they do that, they're in trouble. But that's what it's looking like right now. So third time might be the charm for them. The other one is going to come way out of left field for you guys, and it's all dependent upon what Pittsburgh does with Jared Jones and Paul Skenes. But the Pirates are right in this thing, And that's the scariest team on the National League side to match up with in a wild card series, because you would get Skeens, Jones, and perhaps Mitch Keller in a winner-take-all game three. So that's where I would go. On the American League side, I think that if you want to look for deeper looks here, of course, Cleveland's going to be in there. The Minnesota Twins, I think, are a good team to circle. I realize Tampa's five games out of a wild card spot, and they are just I don't have much hair left. They want me to pull out the rest of what I have. But if you were going to circle a team that's known how to get through the finish line, find their way in the tournament, and cause some havoc, I would say the Rays would be that other team too.
J-Lew, one thing I love about sports is trade deadline season. And, you know, you're starting to get a lot of the rumors floating around and coming out of Major League Baseball. Like, hit us with a guy that you want to see land in a new spot, and maybe even a specific team that you think can be very impactful elsewhere.
Matty, I think right off the top, if I'm just kind of looking at teams, period, it won't surprise me if Baltimore calls up the Chicago White Sox now with the Kyle Bradish injury and tries to get Garrett Crochet. I mean, they have as deep a farm system as anyone. They are in that win-now mode, and it's also a staggering thought to think of what Corbin Burns, Garrett Crochet, Grayson Rodriguez would look like atop that rotation. They're pretty deep. They're pretty set. If the Mets fall out of this thing, and somehow Grimace ends up not being the lucky charm, then I would love to see Seattle go trade for Pete Alonso and see what the Polar Bear and Julio Rodriguez would look like in a Seattle lineup, because they've got the pitching to win it. They've got the pitching to absolutely mow through a lot of good lineups. So those are two that really jump off the page. And then I'll go with your Reds, man. I mean, game and a half out of a playoff spot. Let's see what that front office can do. If they can find a way to 500 and maybe three or four games above by the time you get to the deadline, maybe they go for it, because it's all there for the taking for those final couple wild card spots.
Real quick, because I've been all in. Like, I want Luis Robert. I'm sure that's kind of unrealistic, but he seems like he's under decent control. J-Lew, if you were the Reds, would you sniff around that? Because I think they need some type of veteran presence in the lineup.
Well, it's going to take a haul, no question about it. And if you think about where, you know, of course, it's not going to be a Rhett Lauder or Noel V. Marte or anything like that. But you look at the upper echelon of the prospects, and Connor Phillips probably be a guy you look at. But maybe it is a combination, you know, of a Marte, of a Phillips, and maybe another major league player that they'd have to part with. I just don't know if it makes that much sense to empty the cupboard for a guy that's been injured so much. I would look at more ancillary pieces there, and, you know, perhaps it's in the outfield somewhere. You know, if the Taylor Ward from the Angels, a guy that would absolutely love to hit in that ballpark at Great American, I think they go a little bit more for perhaps a back-end bullpen piece or two, and then maybe another starter just in case. But, yeah, I would say they don't need to have the splash landing effect, but if they could get a couple of more bats, I think they'd be in great shape.
All right, my man. Hope you have a solid weekend. Always enjoy the convo. Keep the bets flowing. Hopefully the winners keep coming in for you, and we'll talk again next week.
Hey, Tommy Kim, come on, baby. Let's go. How are you looking right now, Tommy Kim?
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Can he hang on? I mean, going wire to wire is really tough, as we know, but he's got off to a heck of a start, and he's won before as a young guy, so at least he's tasted that. But, yeah, that'd be a heck of a call if he can go wire to wire.
No doubt. All right, boys. Talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, brother. Take care. Jensen Lewis with us on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fangest Hotline.
All right, AR. Time to give away a nice little goodie for the folks on a Freaky Friday. We have a $50 gift card to Skyline Chili, and they want you to try their new Hot Met Cheese Coney, AR. If you like spicy, you're going to love Skyline's new Hot Met Coney. We had Archie Griffin on. You may have heard of him if you're a Buckeye fan. Two-time Heisman Trophy winner. Great stuff there. I think you have the question for the folks today.
So I was asking Archie about making him relive the time when he was an 18-year-old freshman, and who did he have his breakout game against? What opponent did he have in his career? We had his breakout "I have arrived" moment. So that would be your answer. If you get the answer, give the answer to Bake, you will get the gift card.
614-821-9710 is our phone number.
Absolutely. We'll come back with Tell the Truth. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
The only show where sports talk is eclipsed by food talk.
Donuts.
Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan.
I bet
Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play, from the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
Whether it's a walk-off granny or a base hit to center field, whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 and older, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Tell the truth with Rothman and Ice.
Sponsored by Twin Peaks, home of the 29 degree draft beer.
All right, Bake, who knew that back in 1972, Archie Griffin, after fumbling against Iowa, gets in the game next week because the Buckeyes were sleepwalking against this team, North Carolina. Woody needed a spark. He went to the sideline and said, Griffin, you're going back in. 239 yards later, the rest is history. Who knew it?
That would be David in Hillsboro.
Way to go, David. Good listener there. Nice answer. It was UNC. So, Maddie, he gets the gift card.
Here we go. Shout out to you, David. Thanks for listening, man. Hope you have a great weekend.
All right, let's tell the truth.
All right, real quick, let's update the poll we put out earlier in the show. We got about 149 votes on this. It was, you must choose one, either beat Michigan but not win the national championship, or lose to Michigan and win the title. I was right. It was pretty much 50-50. Yeah. It ended up being 51% in favor of beating Michigan but not winning the title.
I tried to warn Maddie.
You really did.
Tried to warn him.
I underestimated the power of the rivalry.
Of three straight losses?
Yeah. More importantly, yes. Three straight.
You laugh, losses. But that's what one person responded with in the tweet. I can pull up the name real quick. It looks like Andy said, yeah, the three straight losses is a factor here.
Okay. So here's a tweet from Phil who said, a natty coupled with a loss to that team up north would feel so incomplete. The high of winning the natty would not override the devastation of losing, obviously, again to them.
Interesting.
I'll take a win in the game every year and twice on leap year. All right. And then the rest. He's got the Go Buck screw blue. But I would say that's – I'm with you. I didn't think it was going to be 80-20. I thought 60-40 at best, and it was close. But the winner is still technically which side?
It is the beat Michigan but not win the title.
Oh, that was, so it did flop. Yeah. Okay. So
we almost got a 50-50 limit.
Yeah, I know, but now it was inverse.
But as you mentioned, it is a leap year. Maybe you play them twice, beat them twice, and maybe even get the title with it. But let's start off with our national day of today. It's National Smoothie Day. It goes to AR's heart.
This is your day, big dog.
Had a lot of them this week.
Tell the truth. What makes up your perfect smoothie?
I don't know if there's a perfect smoothie, but my go-to, like, three ingredients have to be bananas, blueberries, and peanut butter. Like, those have to be in there.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then you want to throw in some almonds. You want to throw in some... You want to throw some healthy, you want to throw some spinach in there. And like get, well, you don't really taste it. You're getting the benefit.
That's an odd concoction to me. So you're telling me my palate, because I'm not a smoothie.
More like an additive. You're never going to really taste
it. Gotcha.
You're going to taste the overwhelming, the robust wild blueberries, the bonanzas.
Especially if you get the peanut butter in there. You're never going to
tell. Absolutely. Okay, so you might as well throw some kale and spinach in there and get the benefit from it.
I hear you. I'd probably go with, let's go with blueberries. Can I get some apple slices in there? Would that play well in a smoothie?
No, but we'll get you a little apple juice blend in there.
Okay, that works. Yeah. And I need the bananas as well. I don't think I need too many of those. My mom, she's all in on smoothies. Like, she's got all the frozen fruit cut up in the freezer. She's ready to rock and roll every day.
When I go to Chicago, it's like, you know how people who own, like, electric vehicles have to plot where they're going to charge? I'm plotting Smoothie Kings. And so I know that Hilliard, I can get it early on the way out of town. I can get it again right on north on 65, right at Whitetown.
Okay.
I can go all the way to Merrillville and get another one there.
Yeah. Like, it's, and you know what? It's sad that you got to stop that many times. That's what I'm thinking. Like, that drives way, way too long.
Well, I don't have to do it. If I get a 40-ouncer for the start, I can... I need a little splash and go, or a full pit stop in Lafayette, because that's where you take full pit
clean stops. Bathrooms in there,
well, that's where I like to go make a full pit stop in West Lafayette. But I will tell you, I'm not giving out my secret of where.
Okay,
because
smart man.
It's a good location. It is a hotel, and that's what you do.
Thanks for coming, sir. Yeah. Thanks for blowing up our bathroom.
They don't know. They think I'm staying there.
Why would you lie?
All right, next up, as we've seen, or it happened after the show ended yesterday, we found out that J.J. Redick will be the next head coach of your Los Angeles Lakers. My question to you is, tell the truth. We know that LeBron and J.J. have been doing a podcast together. Should they continue that podcast once he starts the role?
No. I don't need it. I don't need it. I think it would be strange to have a coach and player in any sport.
What are they going to reveal at that point?
Nothing.
Yeah.
You know how coaches are throughout the season. They're not going to reveal anything. No, I don't need it. But I'm very fascinated to see how this is going to work. I mean, you talk about taking the ultimate risk as a franchise. I mean, going out on a massive limb to bring in a guy that has literally no coaching experience whatsoever in that city with the attention that team gets. It's going to be a wild ride, but yeah, I don't need the podcast. I'm good.
Yeah, so that's uncharted territory, yeah. Right? If all of a sudden you got active coach player doing a podcast, it's nothing stopping them from doing it. I haven't heard anything like, okay, if we hire you, it's contractually obligated to not do that.
Right.
Like, so theoretically, nothing would stop them from doing it. And at LeBron's point of his career, but if this is the last ride and the last run, and he's got his guy now, although I think it's the AD that wanted him more than LeBron.
That's what it sounds like.
But
yeah.
They would be. You're not airing out anything. Anything about
the game
would matter.
Yeah, nothing.
So I would say no. By doing it, it would just complicate things and publicize stuff that doesn't need to be out there.
Yeah.
So hey, it's time to put away that stuff for now. And then when you get fired in 3 years, because that's what the Lakers do, you can go back to doing a podcast.
Oh, man.
Just find out right now today is true.
All right, final question for you. Depending on the ending of the Stanley Cup Final, it could end tonight. We are in that territory of time where it's time to start catching up on your TV shows or your streaming shows. So my question is, tell the truth. What are you trying to catch up on or watch this summer?
I'm letting The Boys marinate right now. I know episode 4 dropped the other day. I just ripped through Your Honor. I'm pretty good with shows right now. I got Ghost on Stars. That's been really good. And then a long-term play is freaking Yellowstone's coming out in November, but you're asking for the summertime. So I'm in good hands right now. I'll let The Boys sit there for a while, and I'll enjoy Ghost on Stars.
I'm doing kind of some one-offs now. I'm not getting involved in the series. I watched Bratz on Hulu.
Oh, which like the was, Bratz dolls?
Was a spinoff from the Brat Pack with, you know, because I'm so, you know, the Rob Lowe, I connecting to Memorial.
You're still going.
I feel like I really am. So I've been watching the takeoff of the Brat Pack from the 80s with Andrew McCarthy. That's been awesome.
And the truth shall set you free.
And I am looking at a half-empty bottle of Cavathier, which means that we are just about out of time.
Before we get out of here, if you missed Archie Griffin, if you missed Troy Smith, two guys that won Heisman trophies or anything else throughout the show, wherever you get your podcast, type in Rothman and Ice. Those interviews and a lot more will be waiting for you.
All right. Thanks to the great folks here at Cumberland Trail and Pataskill for hosting Gigi's Drive for Dogs. Thanks to all the wonderful volunteers that are helping the shelter. If you're out there and you love animals and you want to check out a dog from Gigi's, go to Gigi's.org. Be a hero to an animal living its life in a cage right now. It's been awesome. We'll continue to do it. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. Bake, thanks for your job out there. CB here, well done. Maddie, you and I will reconvene next week.
Yes, sir.
Common Man, T-Bone up next. Rothman and Ice and the Fan.
We're the girthiest radio station in the history of radio.
Uncomfortably girthy.
This promo is uncomfortable.
The Fan, Ohio's girth destination.
This is a Fan Action Update.
This NFL Action Update is brought to you by Tipico Gambling Promo Code 1-800-GAMBLER. The LA Chargers have the second best odds to win the AFC West at plus 350. Their odds to make the playoffs this season are minus 105 to make and minus 115 to miss. Over-under season win total sits at 8.5 games. And the Chargers are 50-1 to win the Super Bowl. Good for a tie for the 17th best odds in the NFL for your Tipico Action Update. I'm Scotty Vegas.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Casting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM HD1 Columbus.
The Fan.
Good afternoon. I'm Paul Keels. Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals tonight. Florida at Edmonton. Panthers lead the Oilers 3-2. You can hear that game on ESPN Columbus. The Blue Jackets today signed right wing Igor Chinnikov to a 2-year contract extension. Baseball. Cleveland Guardians host Toronto tonight. Guardians have won 2 in a row and lead their division. Cincinnati Reds open a weekend series at home with Boston. Columbus Clippers at Worcester. Ohio State has hired Justin Hare as their new baseball coach. He comes from Campbell University, where they had 5 NCAA regional appearances. College football. Ohio State with a verbal commitment from 3-star receiver Bodpin Miller from Ontario High School in Mansfield to be part of the 25 recruiting class. This update brought to you by Nature Stone. Schedule your free cost estimate today at naturestone.com. It's not just a floor. Wow, it's Nature Stone. Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar.
See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.